What's going on, Drink Advice? Brand new podcast coming right at you. But you know what we got to do first? We got to talk about those things that generate a little revenue for the show. First and foremost, we are brought to you by the Patreon at patreon.com/Matt Slayer. Do you know you can support this show for as little as $3 a month? Less than the cost of a beer. Get ad-free audio, uncensored video versions a week early, and a whole lot more on the Patreon at patreon.com/Matt Slayer. Just come support the show. We are also brought to you this week by the merch store at anwd.net/merch. Come cover your shame in my wares. Show the world that you're a drinking buddy at, once again, anwd.net/merch. Or if you're listening to this on YouTube, it's at the bottom of the YouTube channel. And we are also brought to you by our friends at Casa Anika. Casa Anika is an amazing wellness brand, and it's the kind of wellness that involves vibrating and lubrication, if you get my gist. Use promo code ANWD at checkout for 15% off all your orders. Any orders over $100 gets free shipping in the continental United States. And just bring some wellness into your life. Go to casa-anika.com today. All right, let's get on with it. My guest this week, returning to the podcast in, Jesus, it's been almost 2 years. It's the one and only Haley Spades. Haley and I, just forewarning, there's a bunch of Japan talk. Haley had just gone for the first time, so we nerd out about that. We get into online scams, some of her new projects, just a whole lot of fun. So I'm going to stop telling you about it so you can listen to it. So sit back, relax, pop a cold one, and enjoy Drinking Buddies.
How are you?
Just questioning your life choices of being sober for the month.
I know. I'm on the podcast and I'm doing dry January. That wasn't the plan when we scheduled it.
I know. We scheduled it a week ago and I was just like,
we were at a party.
We were at a party drinking. We were literally drinking.
Yeah. And then I woke up New Year's Day and I was like, I'm going to try dry January.
What were you doing for New Year's that like,
I actually wasn't doing too much. I went to a music festival, but like I didn't really get that drunk because the drinks are so expensive. I was just like super worn down after like all of December. I was like, man, I was like, I need to take a step back here. I was just feeling pretty like, you know?
No, I get it. Every once in a while you gotta dry out a little bit.
Yeah, but we'll see. I might dip my toes in again, you know, for the conventions.
Just like soon as the convention season starts, it's like everyone's partying and
pounding, yeah.
Because it's never fun to be the sober person when everyone else is drinking around you.
No, I know. Especially with the environment of the conventions. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, they can be a teensy bit stressful. To the fans out there, don't be dicks. Don't drive Haley to drink.
They probably will. The last 2 years they did. I spent most of AVN and XBiz the past 2 years of conventions borderline very drunk the entire time.
I mean, that's kind of what you
yeah.
do.
Yes.
As long as you're sober enough to make it to the floor.
Yes.
That's the important part.
No, literally. Oh, my God. Last year for ABN, it was like, I think it was like the third day of the convention, I think. And I was with an agent at the time. So I showed up to the booth that I was signing at. And, I showed up with a drink in my hand at noon. Like a screwdriver.
It's the way to go.
Yeah. And he was like, you're drinking already? I was like, yeah, what about it? What about it? I'm legally of age. Like, what's the problem here?
I'm an adult at an adult convention.
I was like, let me have my drink at 12 p.m. noon, please.
I mean, during ABN, that's starting late in my book.
Yeah, kind of, because some people don't sleep. You just keep going. You just keep going around the clock.
Oh, yeah. There have definitely been ABNs where, like, last person at the Circle Bar and then bought liquor at the liquor store across the street from the Hard Rock and then took it back to my room to keep partying with people.
Oh my God. That's Vegas for you.
It's Vegas. It's AVN. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going this year, but
it's going to be crazy. You're making me nervous now. You're making me be like, damn, I got to drink. Not today, but like, no, I'm not like, not right now. I just mean like.
What, all the alcohol on the table is not talking?
No, I have an anal shoot tomorrow. I actually don't drink before an anal shoot. I don't want the hangover poops, you know?
Plus, you don't want to have the alcohol dry you out at all.
Oh, yeah, and you don't want to be shaky. Like, I always get the alcohol shakes. I don't want to be like, it's VR. I don't want to be like trembling. God, I just couldn't do that. Especially with anal involved. I would be, no.
That'd be hilarious. I mean, it wouldn't be hilarious, but kind of hilarious. Like, someone like watching it, like, why is she just fucking
like trembling there? Like, what is she? Is she okay?
Is she enjoying it that much that she just is having uncontrollable shakes?
Because that stuff's in like 8K.
Yeah,
they could see. I feel like they could see if you're like trembling a little bit.
They could see every pore.
Yeah.
Like I could count Haley's pores. This is such high resolution. Oh, that probably did. That was reassuring. Like,
I watched one of my scenes. So part of one of my scenes actually at XBiz last year. Oh man, it's scary. Really? I put on that headset. It was like my scene, and I was like, whoa! It felt so real. Why am I all up in the camera? Like, back up, girl. But they want you like in the camera. I was just like, it was really scary seeing like myself there. Like, I was like physically like backing up. I was like, oh my god.
You didn't like the idea of fucking yourself?
No, no. I was like, oh my God, stop it. It was scary.
Which is hilarious because that's exactly what dudes want. They're like, no, no, no. I want to be skin to skin close with you, Haley.
I was scared of myself. I was like, oh man, I hope I don't scare the fans.
No, I don't.
I mean, I won an award last year for best VR.
Yeah, so I don't think you're scared. I think you're doing all right.
And that was actually a pretty scary scene, in my opinion. It was like 15 girls. Like all like zombies like coming up onto the male talent. It was like, you know, it was kind of like zombie like.
I feel bad for the male talent in that because I know those dudes can't move.
Oh yeah, no, it was just 15 girls and then him. That's the one I watched at X3 last year. I was like, it was just all those girls and then me. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. I was like, please, please get away. It reminded me of like when I was in Japan, actually. Well, I went to Japan this summer after the scene went out and got an award for it. But I went to Nara, and those deer, it was like that. Like they like come at you in like packs because they want your like the food that you're feeding them, and they're like almost as big as me. And that's it was kind of like a, you know, like a flashback to that scene, like when I had the headset on. I was like, oh man, now it's actually deer that are pulling at my clothes and trying to bite me. I have a video of like me like backing up and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Cause like all the deer are just like,
they're just like so used to humans. And
yeah, and like I was holding like the crackers that you feed them, which is like crack to them, and they were just like coming from like everywhere, like zombies. Like they would just start coming. It's very scary. I like ran away, and then you're actually not supposed to run away because they chase you.
Well, yeah, and I don't think you can outrun a deer.
No, they're huge. They're huge, and I was alone, so that just made it even worse. You know, I was just like everybody was like laughing at me, like everybody was laughing because like the kids were crying because they're scared of the deer. Then you saw the people like freaking out. Then you saw like the people that were actually getting pictures with the deer that were like calm and docile. But not me. I was like scared. I have like a couple pictures of like the ones sitting on the ground, and like you could see the fear in my eyes. I'm like, please don't bite me.
Do they bite?
Well, if you have food, like they're like tugging on my clothes, not like biting me, but I mean, they are wild animals. Like, well, yeah, they can still bite you.
Well, like, are their teeth sharp?
I don't know. I didn't see their teeth.
Just saw shit disappear out of your
Yeah, they're like, rawr.
My audience is probably like, uh-oh, here comes the Japan talk.
I did go to Japan.
I know. We were talking about it. Like,
oh, yeah, how I wanted to go to Japan. Now I've actually went to Japan.
And also, we were talking about it at the party last week.
Yeah, that too.
In the middle of an adult party, we're sharing vacation pictures.
Oh, like, my God.
It's
yeah.
So wholesome.
I know, right? It's like me with my new Bengal cat. I'd be doing that all my sets. I'm like, look at my cat. My actual cat, now my pussy. Look at my meow meow.
Oh, my God. You have interests away from work? Oh, my God. Like,
yeah, like it's an actual animal.
Like, Oh my God, Hill, you're not just a sex machine all the time?
What? Unfortunately.
Oh my God. Mind blown.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Like, yeah, you're on Twitch, but no, that's...
No, but it's still kind of like work. Like, I'm still like, you know, interacting with my community and my fan base. It's more of a, like, you know, chill, safer work environment. Like when they started allowing like more of like the implied nudity and stuff, I was like, why do they have to do that?
Because they just yanked it again.
Yeah, they got rid of it. But I was like, dude, I was like, this is like making it hard for me to want to do what I want to do on this platform, you know. But they're, I don't know, I think they're trying to fix it.
No, they're just like they completely yanked implied nudity.
They got rid of that, but like you can still like show a lot of cleavage, and I think like now you can show underboob when you actually weren't allowed to show underboob, but like I don't know, they're like, we have to see that you're at least wearing clothes, like it can't be implied anymore.
It's a platform for fucking children.
Yeah, literally. I was like, I'm not trying to get naked on Twitch,
right?
Like if I wanted to get naked, I would go to a cam site or exactly. Do it on OnlyFans. Hello,
the appropriate place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of two minds of it. It's like, one, I don't want to ever knock anyone's hustle.
Yeah.
Like,
but you have to draw a line somewhere, you know?
Right. But it's like, it's kind of gross that you are marketing to children with their parents' credit cards.
Yeah. And like, they're like, oh, like it's behind like a, you have to verify your age. I'm like, when do kids not lie?
Right.
When do they not lie?
Or when do they convince their parents to sign them up with a credit card and the parents just fucking like, oh yeah, they're not my problem at the moment. They're staring at the computer.
And it's a naked girl.
Right.
Trouble.
Nothing but.
Yeah.
And 100% Twitch is work.
Like, yeah. I like it. I do love Twitch, but it's not like the main thing that I focus on. It's just for something so people can see me in a different light.
Right.
Yeah.
But
it's like, I don't want to be naked on there. I'm naked all the time.
Right.
I don't want to be naked on Twitch too.
No.
Jeez.
Play some fucking games.
Yeah, and hang out. Like, that's all I want to do.
What are you playing on there recently?
I play the same two games, basically. So I play a lot of Fortnite, and I play a lot of Valorant. I have a big PC setup now, so.
Sick.
And I played, like, two games on there. I have Call of Duty, and I have Overwatch. I used to play a lot more Overwatch, but I've just been playing Valorant a lot lately.
I never got into Valorant. I haven't played Fortnite in a couple of years.
Yeah, I love Fortnite. A lot of the performers play Fortnite. Like, we all get together sometimes, and all, like, get into a squad.
See, I haven't played since like they went no build.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been since.
Yeah, I started playing during builds, and I actually used to be good at builds, and then I switched to no build, and now I'm like, I can't even touch builds.
See, as much as like I hate when people would build the fucking Sears Tower on top of me,
it was so cool.
It made it different than the other shooters.
Yeah, other like battle royale games too.
Yeah. It's like, this made it way different than PUBG. It made it different than Call of Duty. It's
yeah.
It's like, oh shit. Shit's going down. Walls, like walls, panic yeah. Walls.
That's what I used to do. I used to just spam walls.
Yeah. Just panic walls. Just, oh, getting shot. Ah, help me. I used to have a lot of fun with Fortnite, but like it's one of those things where like I don't want to fucking party up with randoms.
Yeah, that's why I really only play like solo or like I'll play with performers, like friends.
Well, I could be convinced to re-download it.
It's a whole different world now.
I know. I'll probably trash. I wasn't great in the first place.
It's sweaty.
That's always been sweaty.
It's so, no, it's, I don't know. I feel like it's even more sweaty.
Really?
Yeah. They have like the most amount of players now because like of all the new updates. And then they brought back Fortnite OG. Like it was like the first like season and chapter that they had. Like they brought that back for like a month. It's like all the people that used to play back in the day that gave it up, like came back. So like, I think at one point there was like 4 million people online.
Oh, that's wild.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
There was like a queue to even like get into like the servers.
What the fuck, Epic? You got me.
Right? It was like a 15-minute queue. I was like, oh my God.
I would never, never wait 15 minutes to get into a Fortnite.
Oh man. My friend Lucky Fate, performer, he waited. Like I got into the server and I joined his party and he was like, hey, how long did you wait? I was like, oh, it was like 12 or 15 minutes. He was like, really? I waited like 45. And I was
fuck
like,
that.
Dude, no.
Fuck.
No. But it's like better now. But I mean, there's a lot of people that play it.
45. Fuck that.
I know, right?
It's like, if I didn't have matchmaking in like a minute, I'd be like, something else, anything else.
Right.
Just
patience, you know? We don't have it here.
No.
Especially if you're playing video games. Come on. We already have a very short attention span.
I am here for immediate gratification.
Literally.
Like, I'm not here for, oh, yeah, well, let me look at, like, the minute I have to look at something else for 15 minutes, like, I will be gone. Yeah. I will be down some YouTube rabbit hole.
Yes.
And like, oh, wait, I was queued up?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, no. No. No, Epic. Fuck no.
No.
Buy more servers. You have the money.
Oh, they definitely do.
You're one of the most fucking profitable games of all times.
Yeah. All the kids on there just spending mommy and daddy's money.
I know. It's like, oh, but I got skins and dances.
I spend a lot of money on there, too. I'll admit it. They got some of my money.
Just out here fucking flossing on people.
I think Valorant, though, is worse for that. Like, really? The skins for the guns. Oh, man. Sometimes they can range up to like $50 for a skin.
What?
Yeah. And it's just cosmetic. It's ridiculous. Like, ridiculous.
Riot Games is here in LA.
Yeah. Like, are you going to go yell at them?
Maybe set their office on fire. I fucking $50.
I didn't know they were. Wait, they are in LA. Yeah. I was talking to somebody that used to work with them. Yeah, I remember. He was like, oh, I used to work for Riot. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it's awful.
I think he said it was actually pretty bad.
I don't have any firsthand, but I've heard some stories. But almost any AAA developer at this point is fucking horror stories.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, especially like Blizzard, all that. Like, oh, yeah, they all have their issues.
Yeah, a friend of mine's wife worked for Blizzard and like had to sue the company.
God. And is Activision Blizzard? I think Activision is Blizzard, yeah.
It's Activision Blizzard these days.
Yeah.
Which Microsoft's trying to buy.
Oh my God, it's so crazy.
Everyone's like,
I know, they're like, what are we talking about here? We're not talking about porn. We're talking about video games.
Like, he was talking about VR porn.
I was, and now we're talking about Activision and Blizzard.
And video games, which, yeah. Honestly, more important some days.
Sometimes, yes.
Like, because, oh my God, you, as I said earlier, do things away from work.
Yeah, for real. Like travel. Like I've been traveling a lot, but I'm finding that my work is kind of coinciding with my travels, which is fine because then it's paying for the trip, which I like it that way. Like in Japan, I only shot two scenes and it paid for the entire trip.
That's sick.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I got paid in cash too, which is pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
So I was just like, so I paid for like my trip there and then like my cash, I just converted it from USD to yen. And then I just went shopping. I don't think I came back with like really much of any US dollars because I couldn't deposit that. I was in Japan. There's no American banks. Like I couldn't access my bank.
No.
So I was just like, well, I guess I'm spending this money.
You can't even pull out yen in most ATMs with an American bank card. You have to go to the fucking 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that's what I had to do every time. I was trying to figure out how I did that. I showed up with a lot of yen. I don't even think it was that much because I ended up having to convert more money. But I mean, I did go shopping there. Like Japan's actually pretty expensive. So,
I mean, right now you're lucky. It's on sale. Like the dollar is, it's like 140 yen to the dollar right now.
I got more out of my dollar there. I realized that.
But like when I first went, the first two times I went, it was like almost 100 yen to the dollar, or the yen was a little bit stronger than the dollar.
Yeah.
And it was still the same prices. It was like, oh, this is just LA prices.
Yeah. I think it was like 130 yen to $1 when I went. It wasn't too bad. I actually had to buy I flew with two suitcases. So I had one big one. I flew with it empty and I put my carry-on inside of it. And then I checked that big bag. But I flew with one empty suitcase and then I ended up having to buy another bag because I just spent so much money. I went shopping because all the clothes there fit me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And like the style is like more like my style there. And like the food, and the anime figures. Oh, man.
Just running around Akihabara.
No, literally. I was just like, take my money, take my money, take my money.
For better or for worse, when I was there last year, I didn't go to Akihabara. I was just like, didn't make it over there. And it's probably good for my wallet that I didn't.
Yeah, I made it over there a few times. I even went one time. I had some friends that were there at the same time as me from San Diego. So we met up and like we went to one of the maid cafes and then we went to Don Quixote and we got like soju and shots. And we went drinking and then we went to like one of those arcades. But then we had to remember like the last train was at like 11:30. So then we were like, okay, we have to like get... get on the train. Otherwise, I need to take a really expensive cab.
Or stay out
five until five.
Yeah.
And it was like a Monday, though. I was like, I don't really want to stay out until five. You have to go to like a karaoke bar at that point.
It's fine.
But I didn't want to stay out that late. It was like one of my last days there, too.
Oh, I definitely
I should have done it. I know. I just didn't want to waste my like actual last full day, I guess.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a giant hypocrite because when I was there last time, I did not pull a 5 a.m. night.
I wanted to in Osaka, actually, but I didn't. Wait, I stayed out until like 2 in Osaka because of the nightlife there. My hotel was like in the walking distance. So dangerous of me. But I actually felt very safe in Japan.
No, yeah. Violent crime's not really a thing.
Yeah, I felt so safe, actually. But like, I was very drunk one night in Osaka by myself at like 2 in the morning. But, you know, as long as you're like, I don't know, aware. I mean, I got catcalled in was it Shinjuku in Tokyo where it's like the red light district is? Oh man, people would like start yelling at me, but I don't speak Japanese. So they would just, I could tell like the way they were talking, like on the corner, like saying stuff to me. And I was like,
they may have thought you were working.
I didn't go into any of those like red light district clubs or anything because I was scared because I didn't speak Japanese. I don't speak Japanese.
Well, and a lot of them are actually foreigners aren't allowed.
Yeah, they actually don't let like the white people in. They're like, no.
It's funny for me because like one of my favorite like divey metal bars is in the middle of Kabukicho.
Yeah.
So when I first got in the country last year, the first thing I did is checked into my Airbnb, got my shit, and then hopped a train over to Kabukicho. And like I'm walking through the district, and of course the Nigerian hype men are like, hey man.
Oh my god.
Hey man, you wanna come to the club? I'm like, no, I'm good.
Like, no. And they're like, white man, come in.
Yeah. I'm like, no, this is how you get robbed here.
Yeah.
Yeah. My first time in country, I heard horror stories from some expats about like some of those clubs, as a dude, they'll drug your drink and max your credit cards.
Oh my god, yeah, I bet.
And like, there's just not shit you can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a great time in Japan. I'm glad nothing happened. I didn't have any issues at all.
Well, I've never had any issues except for being refused service in a bunch of places because of tattoos.
Oh, yeah. I only have a few, and they were actually pretty hidden, so I was fine.
Yeah. Well, I learned that, like, because I've been there 3 times. So mm-hmm. I learned on the first trip that, like, oh, it's really a fucking thing, because I was also there with my tattoo artist, his face and neck tattoos.
Oh.
And we just...
We're like, Yakuza. Yeah. They were like, you got a Yakuza.
We literally walked into places and they're just like, so sorry, we're closed. So sorry.
And there's like a tons of people in there. You're like, oh.
But it was like a Jedi mind trick because we'd step back out of the street like, they were definitely not closed. But they're so polite about it. We were just like, oh, our bad.
Well, like, my bad. Sorry. Sorry for trying to give you money.
Second and third trip, like, I just wear long sleeves.
Yeah.
Zero problems.
Yes, yes.
Which pretty much limits me to going to Japan like, in cooler months. I cannot be there during the summer.
I was there in the summer. Man, it was hot. And I knew going there it was going to be hot. But because I'm used to it. It was like Florida. It was humid. And it was hot. And it was rainy. Which reminded me a lot of like Florida, Louisiana. But man, that was not for the week. I was like, ugh. Because like you want to walk and like see a lot of things. Like I actually skipped out on Kyoto because I didn't have enough time. Because my shoots in Tokyo were at the beginning and end of my trip. So I went from Tokyo to Osaka, and then I was either going to go to Kyoto for a day trip or Nara. And I was like, I kind of want to go to Nara. So I went to Nara for the day trip, and then I had to go back to Tokyo like the next day. So I did not go to Kyoto, but it gives me a reason to go back.
I'm jealous. Like, I've never actually made it out of Tokyo.
Oh, my God. Osaka is probably my favorite. Like, the shopping there was really good. The food, it's like the food capital of the world. It's like they have so many different restaurants and cuisines just all jam-packed. Like you could just like find any good place. Like you don't even have to know like what like the place is called. Like you could just walk into a place and 9 times out of 10 it's gonna be fantastic.
That's how I feel about Japan in general.
Yeah.
In 3 trips I've only had 2 bad meals and one of them was in the airport. You can't count
it. Yeah.
You just cannot. Like I only say it because like it was physically in Tokyo. It's not great.
Yeah.
And then there was a place in Shibuya where we were staying on the second trip called Freshness Burger. I mean, we fucked up by going to
a burger place in Japan.
And in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't horrible, but I took a bite into my burger and it sprayed me with grease. And I'm just like it literally like,
which is a grease patty.
Yeah, I was just like, what the fuck? Every other meal, fucking phenomenal.
Fantastic, yeah. Even 7-Eleven.
Oh no.
I think about those 7-Eleven sandwiches. I think about them a lot, especially the fruit ones.
Oh, I was doing a fat bastard when I was there last time. I was buying fucking fried chicken skins from the 7-Eleven.
Ew. At 7-Eleven, I mean, they're probably fine. They're probably great.
Well, you think of like crispy fried chicken. Like you fucking, you pull the breading off, you eat.
Yeah.
It was just that in a fucking
bag, in a bag.
Well, it was like in a box, like you microwaved. It was hot.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like you get the crispy, like tasty part of the chicken without the chicken. I mean, it's not good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fucking delicious.
Yeah, I love Japan. I can't wait to go back. I wanted to go back this year, but I'm going to Budapest and Prague. I mean, I'm saying instead, but I'm like, I could go back to Japan, but I don't want to go back in the summer. I wanted to go to Japan in like March, but February is Europe. So now I'm like, can't do March. It's way too soon. So I'm probably going to go in the fall, I'm thinking.
No, no, the fall's rad.
Yeah, back to Japan, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm so mixed because, like, I don't get a lot of vacation time a year. I'm just always fucking working. Like, do I go back to Japan for a fourth time or do I go somewhere new? Is always the...
You go to, like, Korea.
No, no. Seoul's definitely on the fucking list.
Yeah. I was like, go there. I had some really good Korean food in Osaka, actually. It was really good. It was, like, this, like, women ran thing. Like I was just looking for something, like a cold, like, soup ramen type of thing. Like, a cold noodle thing because it was hot. And I found this like Korean place that did it and it was like all women I think men could go in, but like you could tell it was mainly like a womanly like hangout spot. Like they had like K-pop on the TVs and the decorations and it was like all women that were like serving you and it was really nice. But, and then like whenever I left, like they handed me like a face mask, like a sheet mask on my way out. I was like, okay, but I actually had really good Korean food there. It was interesting. Yeah.
I don't doubt it. Like,
yeah.
Pretty much anything you can get is done well. Like,
yeah.
I just feel that
even
way.
Even like the sushi, like, I mean, like, even like the revolving sushi bars, like, I loved those. Oh. I went to them a lot. And I'm like, I know there's better sushi in Japan, but I was like, these are good. It's good.
Seriously, like, I pigged out.
Yeah.
There was a Kuro by my Airbnb, and like, I did 20 fucking plates. Literally 20 plates. And was drinking during it.
Yeah. Oh my God. The alcohol is so cheap there, too.
You know, the government subsidizes it, right?
What?
In the post-COVID world, because drinking is such a part of Japanese culture and economy, the government is subsidizing drinking there. Like, I got told by some of my friends who live there.
Yeah, I mean, you can drink out in the streets out there, like in New Orleans. Like, I was just drinking, like, when I went out with my friends a couple of times. I was like, this is nice.
Yeah, like, the first bar I stepped in, like, to get dinner when I got in country, it was like, 99 yen fucking... Jim Beam highballs. I'm just like,
that's not even a dollar. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, 75 cent drinks. Yeah. I don't care if this is mostly water. I don't care.
Literally. I had some good drinks there too. Good craft cocktails, especially in Ginza. I love Japan, but I'm excited to go see Budapest and Prague.
No, I'm jealous on you on that too. I made it over there. Like, I almost went over to Bucharest for like one of the expos last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an alert set for the flights and like, Google just keeps telling me every couple of days, like, it's only like $400 to get to Bucharest. I'm like, I can get to Romania for like $400.
Yeah. Yeah, my flight to Budapest was, I think, about $700. And then my flight back was around $700 or $800 because I'm flying from two different cities. So I couldn't book like a round trip, which actually isn't that bad. Like,
no,
not
at all.
I think when I went to Japan, because I kind of booked it last minute, I booked it like 2 weeks out. It was like $2,500 round trip.
That's insane.
Yeah. It was Delta. I booked Delta. I didn't book like
No, but I fly Delta too.
Yeah, it was insane. It was very expensive. It was like round trip was like, it was like around like $2,500. I was like.
Yeah, my round trip when I went November last year was $700 to Japan.
Yeah. I mean, I booked it really last minute. I just like last minute sent it. I was like, I should go to Japan.
Well, I also went like a month after they reopened to American
Visa
Free. So they were probably just like, please come spend money.
Come give us your money. Yeah.
I'm just like, happily.
Yeah, I spent a lot of money to go there.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it was so worth it. Like, I had so much fun. It was a great time. And I got to work out there, and I hope I get to work out there again when I go.
I wish I could figure out a way to pay for my trips with work.
Yeah.
I did two podcasts there, but, you
know. No, that's not enough.
This podcast, especially those episodes, don't pay enough for me to, like, just, like, they're well worth it. But it's just, like, I wasn't talking to anyone in the industry while I was there. I was talking to, like, some comedians there.
Yeah.
There's a Western-style comedy club in Shibuya.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I popped in there, like, talked to the comedians. Like, there's an interesting expat comedy scene in Tokyo.
Nice.
It's really kind of odd because it's stand-up comedy in Japan is kind of a curated thing. Like, it's more vaudevillian. It's usually comedy teams.
Yeah.
And the way these guys were describing it is, like, basically some agent says, you two are funny. And then they start promoting you. And, like, it's not like doing it here where, like, people get up at open mics
yeah.
and develop their craft and then go from there.
Okay.
So, like, the cultural difference is wild. And then the fact that, like, these expats are like, yeah, we're going to open a Western-style comedy club where people are getting up and doing open mics.
Oh, my God. That's great. That's great.
It's awesome. But it's also, like, I asked them during the interview, I'm like, what motivates you guys to do it? Like,
something different, I guess, you know?
Well, but, and these are professional comedians. These are people professionally, you know, pursuing it. It's like, this is never going to be L.A., New York, Austin these days.
Yeah.
Like, the likelihood of you developing a paying career out of this.
In Japan, yeah. No.
It's pretty low. Like, what motivates you to get up every night? It's like the people that, like, are on the lower end of OnlyFans, like, what motivates you to keep hustling at OnlyFans if you're making a couple hundred a month?
Yeah, literally. Man.
And unfortunately, that's the reality for a lot of people.
I know. We're lucky. Performers in the industry. I mean, that's why I ended up joining the industry, because I was doing OnlyFans. And I was like, oh, I should go do porn.
Yeah.
Duh. Like, why wouldn't I do that? Like, I'm already making porn. Why don't I just go do bigger porn?
Right. And it's like, oh, hey. These big companies' marketing arms will help promote me.
Like, oh my God, yeah. Like, duh, light bulb moment.
But some people don't want to take that.
People can't. Yeah. Some people really couldn't do it. There's so many people in my DMs like, hey, I really want to get into porn. Can you help me? I'm like, dude, especially because they're men. I'm like, you have such this big idea that you think you could do it. And I'm like, I bet you couldn't even get your dick hard at all. Like, even with like Viagra, I bet they couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be too scared.
Yeah, as I say to people all the time, like, can you get your dick hard in a room full of people, like, dudes that look like me standing over you with a boom, like.
And with a bunch of lights, like, making you hot, and everybody's looking at you, like.
Dick hard?
No, come on, time is money.
Right, can you keep it up while I'm sweating on you because there's no fucking AC on and we're under lights?
Yeah, where you're, like, people are breathing on you, like. Yeah, I'm like, they don't realize how hard it is.
No. No, they super don't, and it's like. And I didn't realize this till recently, like, consciously I was aware of it, but I've been really reminded of it by the comment section recently that, like, a lot of dudes think this shit is, like, real. Like,
yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm learning how to fuck from porn. Like,
the sex that they must be giving to the people in their life must be terrible.
Right?
Terrible. Like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, I'm going to pile drive you now. Like, what?
No, you're not. I'm like, you're not going to pile drive me. Like, you're not about to turn me upside down over here. Like, no, first of all, I bet you can't even do that, like, the squatting position for that long. I'm like, you're squatting. Like,
it's.
I feel like I've even had, like, guys, like, try to pick me up, and they can't. Like, first off, like, you're trying to hold somebody, right, while you're fucking them, and then all the blood is leaving your dick. So then you can't even you can't even fuck. Now you don't have a hard dick, and then you're trying to hold me, and you're just
I can't imagine that, like,
that's happened a few times in my personal life. I'm like,
I'm sure it's happened.
I'm like,
but I'm amazed, like, you're not that big of a person. Like, I can't imagine that. I have definitely picked up partners in my life and carried them. It's not great for penetrative sex, like, but it, as a dude, it's still actually kind of hot to, like, be able to carry your partner, and, like, I feel like a man right now.
Yeah.
But it's not like good penetrative, like.
Yeah, but then they try and, like, do, like, penetration, and I'm just like, and then I'm like falling, and then it's just awkward. I'm like, put my ass down right now.
I'm sure that's gotta be nerve wracking for you, because it's like, is this dude gonna drop me?
Yeah, like, he's gonna drop me because he's trying to put his dick in me, and it's soft because he has no more blood in it anymore.
Well, I'm proud to say that, like, when I've done that in my real life,
you haven't,
I've kept my dick hard, but it wasn't like I was just kind of inside her. It wasn't like.
It was like they try to do it like porn, like, you know, like the guys, like, they basically, like, move me off of their body, so, like, it's not really so much them, like, thrusting, it's more like they're benching me, like, curling me almost. I was like, maybe benching, I don't know how to describe the motion. But, you know, like, they're lifting me back and forth, like, I'm like, that's a lot of work.
No, it is. And, like, out really meant when I've done it in real life, it wasn't for long. It was like, oh, I did this. And most of the time it was like, sex had started on like a couch or something. And like, I was inside her and I picked her up.
Yeah, and then you're like, all right, now we're up.
like carried her to the bedroom and then like continued like.
Yes.
But it was still like, it was empowering. You're like, yeah. That's right. That's right. I'm a man. I just carried you. It was also
shaking. You see though, like in foreign, they see like these big performers like Zach Wilde. Who else is like big and strong? Zach Wilde's the one that comes to mind. Somebody did it to me in like one of my showcase scenes. I'm trying to remember who, but they like picked me up and they just went to town for like a solid minute and a half. And I'm like, that's a long time. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, that is what a lot of people think they can do. And then they can't.
They can't.
They can't. I'm like, they could barely even do it on camera. And like our guys can, like they'll go for as long as they can. And then like, they're like huffing and puffing. And like, then we got to cut because they're like dying. Then they're right. Like water, air, like.
Yeah, it's not real.
Like, it's not real. Like, it's very, very much a performance. I mean, it's a fun performance, and some people don't realize it's not a walk in the park. I mean, no. I've been in almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years in February. Oh, my God.
I know. We were just talking about this the other night, that, like, you were, last time you did the show, you were still fairly new.
Yeah. I was a year and a half in.
Yeah,
you almost, almost a half. It would have been a half that summer. It was May when I went on the podcast.
Yeah. First and foremost, congrats for making it this long, because you know as well as I do the turnaround. How many people have you seen come and go?
Oh, man. Yeah. I've been seeing lately a lot of performers joined right before me, either at the same time as me or right before me. They're just dropping out. And it's like, respect, you know, like you found your calling or like you just don't want to do it anymore. But I'm like, I can't really relate to that because I feel like there's just so much more I want to do. Like I went to Japan and I shot and now I'm going to Europe to shoot. And I just started doing anal, and I'm like, okay, like, I want to ride this wave, you know? I'm like, right. It's going really well. I'm like, I'm not ready to leave yet, you know, to each their own. But I'm like, that couldn't be me. I'm not ready yet.
Well, and a lot of it comes to what were people's motivations for getting in the first place. Like, unfortunately, some people get in because a partner pressures them or they're doing survival sex work.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I respect the ones that are like, all right, like, my time is done. But we also see a lot of people end up coming back.
Yeah, well, and that's why
so when people leave, I'm like, we might be seeing them back.
Oh, definitely. That's why I always tell people, like, don't announce retirements.
No, yeah. When they make, like, this big thing, I'm like, now it's just going to be – but, I mean, it also could go the opposite way. Like, when they announce, like, a comeback, it could be, like, just as big, if not, you know.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how where they were in their career when they retired. It's like, oh, you're retiring and you're barely getting booked.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah. So I think it just depends, you know. But like I said, no disrespect or anything. But
no.
I'm just like, that couldn't be me. I am not ready to leave.
And leave on your own fucking terms if you ever want to.
Yeah, and at least most people, that's what they're doing. You know, like for me, like I just started self-booking. And that's going phenomenal. And that's why I'm like, I'm just now like, starting to pick up like this new momentum and like motivation. I'm like, I'm not ready to leave yet at all. Like, no.
Yeah, don't leave then.
No, I'm not leaving, guys. You'd have to like force me to leave. Why would anybody do that? It's almost, I think that's worse than forcing me in, to be honest. Forcing me to leave.
Right.
like if you found like a man or a partner and they're like, you gotta quit. No. You're gonna have to tie me up against my will. Or like,
first and foremost, to anyone, do not get involved with someone who's trying to change who you were when they met you.
No, literally.
Like, it's a tale as old as time. It's like,
happens to everybody.
People getting out because of some new partner. It's like, girl, do you really want to be with someone who, what you do for a living, brought them to the party? Like,
yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm dating a porn star. And then all of a sudden, like,
they're like, don't do porn anymore.
Right. That's toxic as shit. It's
crazy. Yeah. I've seen it happen so many times.
It
happened to me like my first year. I was dating somebody, and then like it was like really toxic. Like he was like, "You need to quit porn." He had like that whole red pill mentality, you know, like you're gonna lose your value. Nobody wants anybody. I was like, "Shut the fuck up!" I like cut him off. I was like,
"Good."
Well, I mean, at first, like I started like kind of like believing him, and then I was like, "Wait a second! Wait a second! Wait a second! Wait a second!" I like took like some steps back, went to therapy, fixed everything. But I was like, you know, it's very easy though to fall underneath like that mentality, especially if you have somebody like constantly feeding it to you. And then like you start to like question your own like sanity almost at that point.
Well, especially if you're romantically involved with them and you know, you're supposed to trust the person you're romantically involved with. Like, why would this person that I
manipulation,
right, that I have feelings for do me wrong?
Yeah.
But
no, it happens a lot. It's happened to me. It's happened to, I think, almost everybody I know in the industry.
No, it's a tale as old as time. Like, every time one of my friends gets involved with someone who's like, yeah, I think I'm going to do girl, I'm like, this is a problem.
Yeah. You're letting somebody, like, dictate your life, and most of the time, you're not even married to that person. Like, they don't have any control. Like, why are you letting somebody have so much power and control over you? You shouldn't.
You definitely shouldn't, but I understand, like, at times, like, this can be a lonely place, and oh my God, this
person. This is my one chance to find love. Yeah. Right.
It's not.
Yeah. It's like most people don't realize that. They're like, they end up thinking like, oh my God, this is it. Like, I have to like quit. I have to do this. And you don't have to.
No, you definitely shouldn't.
You shouldn't at all.
Yeah. If someone.
Because then you'll like, once you come out of like that haze, like that fog, you're like, why the fuck did I believe that? Like when I came out of it, I was like, what the fuck, Haley?
It's 100%
like my mood on camera changed. Like I was more excited to be at work again and like on set, and it was just like more like, you know, invigorating, refreshing. And once I like came over that though, like, cause at first I was like, oh no, I was like, did I make a mistake? You know? And then no, I was like, I didn't make a mistake. I'm meant to be here.
Well, I'm sure like you felt some guilt, like when this dude's in your ear every day, like,
yeah,
you're making the wrong life choice.
No. Yeah. Literally I would show up to set and be like, oh no, what am I doing? But no, Haley's well past that moment in her life. Okay. I'm having a great time. I mean, my showcase, like a lot of people, when my showcase came out and they saw like all those scenes, they were like, we have never seen this energy from Haley.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, I mean, I was very high energy before the showcase, but like the showcase allowed me to showcase more of myself as a performer. And I'm really glad I had that opportunity.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Never let someone else dictate how you want to live your fucking life.
Yeah, like, no, it's your life at the end of the day. Like, it's the only person who matters in your life is you.
Right.
And my cats.
That's your children. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. No man, though. Just my cats.
Right.
And my cats are female.
Anyone who becomes a partner should be, like, an awesome plus one.
Yeah.
They're not there to complete you. Anyone who's like, they're there
to compliment you, right, not complete you.
Yeah. You're awesome.
Or change you. Yeah.
You're plus one. They're your awesome plus one.
Yes.
They should have their own fucking lives, their own fucking ambitions, their own fucking things.
And let you have your own
shit.
especially
if it's what you were already doing when they met you.
Dude, for real. It's so crazy how many people think they can pull girls out. And they're actually able to sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Often.
But then like you see those girls end up coming back. It's like some people have to learn that lesson. I mean, I almost had to learn that lesson. Like I wasn't going to quit, but I was like trying to figure out what I was going to do. I was trying to like come up with like my exit plan. I was only a year in.
Right.
I was like, what am I going to do? Now I'm like, I don't know when I'm quitting and I don't care.
Exactly. And unfortunately, sometimes those situations get really ugly. Like one of my friends, she just posted a timeline of like a year ago, her fucking jealous ex like put her in the ICU.
Yeah.
Because he was controlling and like, you need to get out of the industry and just.
It's crazy. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like, why would you introduce that into your life? I mean, I know it's brain chemicals.
Yeah. It's like, your brain.
I love this person.
It's so manipulative and fucked up. Like, and it is like hard to like understand, but like I said, like I was in those shoes once, not to like that degree, not being in like the ICU, but like, you know, like having lies and stuff fed to me. I was like, ew, Haley, what the fuck, girl? Snap out of that.
What was this dude doing that, like, was so cool that?
Not anything cool.
Right.
Who was, like, working in insurance.
Oh, my
awful,
God.
Awful, awful.
You almost gave up this life for an insurance salesman?
No, he was, like, an adjuster.
Oh, well, like, so much cooler. So much cooler.
It's not cool. I think it's way worse.
Right.
Yeah, it was just awful. I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, what was wrong with me?
You thought you had a connection.
I was like, oh yeah, no, trash, literally dumpster trash.
Dick good at least
at the time, yeah. But now that I have men in my rotation, you know, I got way better dick. Guys that aren't trying to change me, but also not trying to marry me, which is fine.
Right.
Like, stay in your lane. And your lane is just fucking me.
I've said multiple times on here, it's like, it'd be a whole nother thing of like, you were a civilian couple and like you decided that you wanted to fucking.
Yeah, that's different.
Like, that's a discussion.
That's changing up gears there. Right.
But to come to someone who's already an established performer, an established sex worker, and be like, no, no, no.
You're going to change for me.
Yeah. And especially on the red pill bullshit of, oh, you're devaluing yourself.
I hate that shit. Every time I see it, I'm like, eh. Like they have like those other podcast shows, you know. I'm not going to name names, but you probably know exactly which one I'm talking about. Oh man, I see so many of our performers go on there, and I'm like, I get it, because clout is clout, and you want all of the attention and recognition and, you know, reach. But man, that's all I have to say. I'm like,
how much recognition are you really getting when you're in a room with six other people and
you're just being yelled at? Yeah,
you're just being yelled at. I've been told by other performers like. Some people get blindsided by that shit. Like they
don't realize, and they're like sitting there, like, "What is happening here?"
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, I've heard of that podcast. I'll go do it," and then show up and find out what it's really about. It's like I say to anyone, research this fucking show you're going.
Yeah, I'm like, actually watch it because it's kind of crazy. I mean, I've had a lot of friends go on there, and like they know what they're getting themselves into, but they're like, they try and like play games there. Like they try to like get into the host head and like try and like. Flip it around, but like you're still being yelled at and degraded. And like, I feel like I have a kink, all right, for degradation and humiliation, but that's on a different level.
Right.
Right. I'm like, I would kind of be like, oh, I'm getting publicly humiliated here. Great. But I'd be like, this is kind of,
yeah, but
it's like in front of like your peers too. Like, I'm like, oh,
it's also not consensual.
No. Like, yeah. It's like,
there's no safe word here.
Yeah. Like you just got to take it.
Yeah. Or you just walk out and then they fucking make a clip out of you walking
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Make a big deal about like, oh, we kicked her off the show because she was like,
she was a crybaby.
Yeah. Like, no, dude.
Oh, and they get you drunk before those podcasts. Like, I had a friend go on a different podcast. She told me about it. She was like, dude, she was like, they got me so drunk and then they bullied me.
See, I just get, I allow you to get yourself drunk.
Yeah. He's like, you get drunk and you have fun and you talk. You don't get bullied. No, there's podcasts where you get bullied. They get you drunk first and they bully you.
And I think that's so gross because, like, as a host, if I were bringing on you to have an argument of some sort, you'd know that this is what we're going to do. If like we had some wildly different opinion on
like a debate, yeah, it'd be like a debate. It wouldn't be like an argument where you're like yelling and putting somebody down. It'd be like a debate,
right? And you know that this is what you're walking into. The idea of ambushing someone with that is so gross to me.
Yeah,
like I've definitely had disagreements with guests over the years, but I try to keep it civil.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to be like, and I do everything in my power, like and. Sometimes in retrospect, I like kind of kick myself for not being more argumentative about the shit. Like, I've definitely had people say shit where it's just like, I wholly don't agree with what you're saying right now.
But it's fine. Everybody can, you have your own opinions, right. Your own outlooks.
But also, as a host, it's also like, the show must go on, and I'm not looking to just like fight with you. Like, this isn't what we're here to do.
Yeah. You're like, we're not debating here.
Like, I will, and I'll, if I feel like it could be a friendly debate. And people are going to get, like, emotional and, like, fucking angry about it. Maybe I'll push it a little bit. But if it's just like, oh, this is about to be wildly uncomfortable for everyone, I will just segue it.
Yeah, you're like, well.
If you go back to the old episodes, you may be able to tell which ones I've done that on.
Yeah. It's not a good situation. I thought about going on that one, and I was like,
Those shows wouldn't exist if performers stopped going on them.
Yeah, I mean, they want the clout, but I'm like, I don't know. That's
you want the clout for a bunch of fucking angry incels?
No, literally, like they'll be like in your DMs, like you gotta quit, like you fucking whore, like leave. Like that's the worst. Like it's like you're coming to my page and you're gonna say that to me.
Oh yeah.
Like okay, like how about you just leave?
I had a recent clip where there are over 600 comments that are almost all like incel-y, like red pilled fucking.
They're like, oh, she's never going to be loved or she's never going to get married or
like she's low class. Her, you know, her family life's sad. She's ruined. Like,
it's like, shut up. It's like, that's just projection. Like none of us in the industry really think that like, at all. Like just projecting.
At the end of the day, as you know, we said, this can be a lonely place. It can be a rough place. But there's still a fucking community here. No one, like, in the actual community is going to put you down for what you do.
No, yeah. Like I'm not going to go to another performer and be like, you fucking bitch. You slutty ass bitch. Like, you're not going to get married. You're not going to find love. Like, I'm not going to look at, like, Coco Lovelock and say something to that to her. Like,
oh, poor Coco.
Could you imagine if I said that to her?
Why are you fighting a smaller girl to bully, Haley?
Why am I bullying Coco Lovelock?
Why are you literally fighting?
Or, like, Maddie Collins. It's like, if I just started yelling at them, like, oh my God, you're trash. Like,
I just love that you're, like, fighting the girl, the few girls in this industry that are smaller
are
than you.
Those are my friends.
I know.
That's why, like, I don't want to say a performer I don't know. And then they're going to be like, oh, Haley's trying to fight. Like, no.
I just think... Visually, it's funny because, like, both of them are smaller than you.
Imagine us all three, like, squaring up, like, pop, pop, yelling at each other. Honestly, that could be a scene. Not, like, us actually fighting, but, like, a hot scene, like a wrestling scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's money to be made there.
Oh, yeah. Three tiny girls wrestling each other.
That reminds me, I need to text Coco and actually get around here, because every time I see her, like, oh, yeah, come do the show. And then I don't follow up. I'm a bad person.
She's a great person. You should have her on the show.
No, I like Coco a lot.
She was over at my apartment last night.
Oh, well.
I told her I was doing the show, and I was like, I'm doing the show, and I'm not drinking. She was like, what? And I was like, yeah.
You can stand to be around Matt sober? Weird flex.
Yeah.
No, she did not argue with that, folks. Yeah. There was no argument.
Hey, yeah, I could stand to be around him sober. So I'm like, yeah, I can do it. It's like reluctantly, yeah.
Yeah. Like, the alcohol's looking better now,
isn't it? No. I have an anal scene tomorrow. I can't drink.
Oh, I mean, it's.
I mean, I could, but
I'm
I don't want
I'm to. Not going to peer pressure you. I was about to be like, but it's only one little ounce.
I'm not going to drink.
No, don't.
It's also a VR anal scene.
Don't do it. I'm not doing it.
I'm not looking at you for validation. I'm just like, I'm not doing it.
Good. I'm not here to peer pressure you into drinking. I may be here to joke about peer pressure.
Maybe at AVN. Maybe somebody can peer pressure me for sure at AVN. Oh, that's very easy. Somebody, all it will take is one friend being like, hey, can I go grab you a drink? And I would literally look at them and be like,
well, if I was there, I would definitely peer pressure you there, because, you know, like,
that's the place where you can peer pressure.
I always smuggle, like, full bottles in my camera bag.
Oh, yeah. Because they never really checked my bag. I think I brought in. No, it was X3 where I was trying to bring in food, and this is the first year they didn't have food. So it was like the second day. So I saw the first day they didn't have food. So I was trying to bring in like some snacks and stuff. And they were like, oh, we don't know if you're allowed to bring food. I'm like, you're not even selling food here.
You're selling alcohol though.
I was like, yeah. I was like, let me have my food. And then they let me have it. But I think at AVN, they didn't really check my bag, but there was like a metal detector. Like, they would like peek in, but like they weren't like.
Oh, literally searching. At AVN last year, I brought two fucking full bottles in my camera bag. Like,
yeah, I mean, the drinks are expensive there.
It was hilarious because I'm like, I pretty much hang out in the media room all day, and ABN's head of PR, I'm like, so what's the deal with me bringing bottles this year? He's just like, if you can get them in, it's on you.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'll be back. And ran out, bought liquor, threw it in my camera bag, went through the security, like, opened my bag. They just saw all the camera gear, saw the media badge. They're like, go ahead.
Yeah.
I walk in, I hand him a bottle. Like, here you go. Thank you. He's like, you really did, didn't you? I'm like, yeah, you expect me to spend $20 fucking.
Oh, no, those drinks were expensive. I remember. Oh, man. I was so drunk at AVN that, like, when I was signing and, like, I saw, like, a friend, I would be like, hey, here's my card. Buy yourself a drink and me a drink and, like, come back with my drink and my card. And then, like, I think at the end of that week, I saw how much money – because I was buying friends drinks. Because I was like, go get me a drink. Just take my card. I did that at X3 with Nathan Bronson. Oh, my God. I almost left. I was, like – I was drunk and I was just kind of not having a good time. I was very, like, annoyed with everybody and I was done signing. So I was about to leave, but I stopped by the Sex Like Real booth at X3 and – I had just actually taken a shot right before I went to the booth because I was trying to, like, you know, get myself, like, happy to be there again because I was about to leave. But it was early. Like, I didn't want to leave. So I had a shot. And then I get to the booth and, like, they're like, oh, like, they're like, Haley, like, hang out for a little bit. And then all of a sudden somebody's like, hey, who wants to take a shot? And I was like, I'll take one. I was like, I just took one, like, 5 minutes ago, but I'll take one. And then, like, a little bit later, I was feeling better and I was like, hey, who wants to take a shot? I went and bought everybody shots. I was like $100-something of shots. I was just like, well, I mean, as long as I'm not drinking alone, you know,
right?
I'm like, somebody drink with me. So I'm like, I'll buy it. So I'm not alone. I'm probably going to end up breaking my streak for the conventions, which is fine.
It's fine.
It's understandable.
It is. I totally get it. I have never done an AVN sober.
I don't think I can.
It was a lot better in the years where I just had to like babysit a performer. Because that's what I did in the early days. Like my job was to roadie for people. So it's just like.
I think especially this year, now that I'm a little bit bigger, like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm not as nervous as I was like last year, but I definitely feel like now that like I have more of a name for myself, I'm definitely going to be like a little bit more overwhelmed. And I'm trying to do it sober. What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
But you got to be careful, you know? Like, I remember I had to be very careful with my drinks. So I was like, I don't want one of these fans to try and roofie me. Yeah.
Fuck no.
Yeah. I was never like alone either. Like, I always had like a buddy.
No, it's always the move.
Yeah, you can never really be alone. Because when I was alone, I was like, well, I was like, run and hide.
That's the problem. Like, you need someone to walk you to the fucking bathroom so these fans don't get fucking out of control.
No, literally, I like the last day of signing, I was actually leaving and like I hadn't gotten like a picture, like just like on my phone. So I asked my friend to take a picture. And, you know, as he's taking the picture, all of a sudden, it's like a swarm of people. And they're like, Haley, can I have a picture with you? Haley. And I was like, that was the night of like the award show. And I was like leaving to go get dinner, and then go get ready for the award show. And I was like, I literally was like, you guys, like, I have to leave. I was like, I'm not trying to be rude. I was like, I'm not taking pictures. And then like I had like a hoodie on. So I put like my hood on and I was like, no, it's scary. And then like sometimes you feel bad like telling people like no.
Right. Because they're going to go to the internet and be like,
she was such a bitch. She wouldn't fucking talk to me. She wouldn't take a picture with me. I just wanted a picture.
I love her. She wouldn't take a picture with me. Like, check your entitlement, bro.
Yeah, no, literally. Like, I went to a toy drive event for, like, the industry, the Babes in Toyland thing. And I brought one of my male friends with me, and I went with Maddie. So we all three went together. And when we got to the event, there were fans out there, you know, trying to take pictures and get you to sign their printed pictures of you, like trying to sell it on eBay.
Right.
And I signed like one. And then that was before I realized what they were like. They had stacks. And I was like, and then like I looked at the guy, and like the guy, he's like had like experience like in those kinds of situations because he's like a photographer for like big DJs. So he was like, hey guys, like no more, no more. Like he was telling them no more. And I was like, thank you. Cause I was like deer in headlights. Cause like you feel bad. And then
don't feel bad.
I know. I try not to.
Pro tip for anyone who doesn't know, if you are in the industry and you get the stack of 8x10 guys who are trying to get you, always be like, who do I make it out to?
Yeah, put a name on it.
Always put a name on it. Fuck them.
Yeah. I like
value that shit.
Yeah. Because then they'll be like, oh no, don't do that. I'm like, why not? Is it not for you?
Right.
Like, I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me that. Oh my God.
Yeah, that is old school roadie pro tip for you if you're in the industry. Like, always put a name on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Always. Well, and that's why, like, if it's in people's budgets, that's why it makes sense to hire people like what I used to do. It's like, because I have zero problems being like, nah, dude, we're done here.
Like, get the fuck.
Yeah, back the fuck up. We're done here.
Yeah.
But, and also, I've had some clients where it was kind of gross at times where just like, dudes would say something that like just mildly annoyed them, like, get rid of him.
You're like, he's got to go.
Well, yeah. No, she'd be like,
oh, she would, yeah.
You know, like, get rid of him. Just not like, all right, man, you got to go.
Yeah. I mean, they don't, a lot of fans, you know, unfortunately don't have the best social skills and social cues. So it can get very weird, very fast and uncomfortable.
Oh my God. People who develop parasocial relationships with you in their mind don't have the best social skills. Who would have thought?
Or like the ones that fall for the scams, like the fake profiles. Like I see that a lot. Like people are like, oh my God. So like, this isn't really you that I've been talking to. No, it's not. And what planet do you think I would actually talk to you on, like, on a social media platform and, like, start saying, hey, I have all these medical bills, but then I'm, like, on OnlyFans, like, not, like, it's just, I'm like, what, in what world? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I just don't get it. Like, why would you think I, like oh, am I ever going to actually meet you? Because you said I would meet you if I sent you this much. I'm like, no. And, like, I always warn people. I'm like, my socials are my only ways of reaching me, including my OnlyFans. That's it. The absolute only place.
The problem is these people have an orgasm to your image and then like lose their fucking mind.
Yeah. They're like, oh, this fake pro, what do they think? They think, oh, this profile of her with 200 followers and these really fuzzy old pictures of her. Oh, it's definitely her messaging me.
Right. Not followed by anyone. Because that's how I'll get random accounts following me all the fucking time. Some of them from, you know, performers and all that shit.
Performers. I was like, that's not actually them.
Right. And the first thing I look for is mutuals.
I also look at the quality of the post too. Like if I'm like unsure, like it's usually really fuzzy, like really bad quality.
Well, if there's no mutuals, I just immediately just like I feel bad when people have like because there have been times where it's like it is someone's account because they just got nuked.
Yeah.
And like they were just like I'm one of the first people they followed, and it's just like there's no mutuals here. I'm not following you back.
Yeah.
But if I see mutuals, then I will start diving a little bit.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy Wild West world out there.
Which is kind of fucked up because it's like if someone managed to infiltrate and get a bunch of mutuals, it's like, oh, I'll probably follow you. Fuck.
Yeah. Yep.
It's wild to me that, like, dudes, in what world would this complete stranger ask you for thousands upon thousands of dollars for a medical bill? Or
yeah, that's what a lot of people say. They're like, oh, like, I really like, oh, like, I don't have rent. I'm like, why? I'm like, first off, for me, if I was actually somebody struggling with rent, I wouldn't let it boil up to that point of, oh, God, I don't have a single dollar. Like, I don't know. Like, it just like, you know, and it's like, for me, it's like, if I actually like I see performers like being like, hey, like, I really need help with like this bill. Like, like you see that from their actual profile. You don't have like these accounts messaging you personally on Instagram and Twitter. Like, I would never do that.
I mean, it's a sad state of affairs when someone is legitimately hurting like that. It's like,
yeah,
it sucks. But yeah, the DMs.
I think it's like the delivery of it. You know, like I've seen performers like tweet about it, like saying, "Hey, like I'm really struggling right now," versus like somebody being like, "Oh, you privately messaged me 2 months ago and even asking me for money for this medical bill you have. How are you feeling better?" Like, and then you have to be like, "That is not me."
I can tell you firsthand because sometimes I'll interact with these scammers just for my own lulls. These people commit to the bit.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like, I had someone, you know, DM me, I think it was Lexi Lore, who's like a real life friend of mine. Like, mm-hmm. There are a bunch of pictures of like Lexi and I hanging out socially, not just doing this.
Yeah.
It's like, this is legitimately my friend. Like, hey, babe, thank you for being a big fan. Like,
you're like, that's not Lexi.
I mean, I know it was Lexi for the jump, but it's like, are you not even bothering to do any fucking research here?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like, there's people who follow this, like, and I'll go along with it for a little bit, like, and then I'll confront them and be like, why are you doing this? No, it's totally me, babe. Like, and I'll just like send them a screen cap of like, that's funny. This is me and you hanging out on my couch. This is me and you at a bar.
Why are you acting like you've never met me?
Like, why would you not text me?
Like, why are you messaging me on this app?
Right. I'm like, oh, I lost your number. I'm like, that's funny. That's not...
You don't lose people's numbers. Like,
it's wild to me that, like, the scammers will commit that hard. Like, I am giving you proof that this is not going to work, and you are still committing to the bit. Because I legitimately want to ask one of these... I want one of these people to... break character and tell me why they're doing it. That's my only goal in it. It's like, yeah. I'm curious to hear why they're doing it. Even if their story is like, I'm just trying to scam people. I'm just trying to make.
But they can't be making that much money.
Oh yes, they can.
Oh man, I'm like.
Shereve DeVille, when she did the show last time, talked about someone who one of her fans got scammed out of like five digits.
Oh my god.
And like was. Wildly upset with her, threatening to sue her.
But it wasn't money. Her.
Right.
Yeah. These.
So they are making some serious
crazy.
Money.
Oh my God.
But I.
If you're falling for it over and over and over, and like you actually believe it, like, I don't know, you're almost kind of digging your own grave there, you know?
100%. And also, part of me is like, you have five digits to spare on a complete stranger?
Like, how? Why don't you give it to me directly on OnlyFans?
Right. Give it to the real people. Or on top of it, it's like, how did you get successful enough in life to have $20,000 lying
just
around?
To give to somebody.
To just give to someone if you're this fucking dumb.
Literally. Like, how did you acquire that much money?
Right. Because I'm assuming, I could be completely wrong, you're not maxing out your credit cards and putting yourself into the poorhouse for one of these scammers. I could be wrong.
Oh, man.
I could be wrong. Could you imagine someone lying to white knight that hard? They're like, oh, I'm going to get evicted because I gave a scammer that I thought was you $20,000.
Insane. Because it doesn't just happen once. Like, it's like, that's a buildup.
Right.
You know, like, that's a continuous thing.
Haley, I know you in real life. I like you quite a bit. I'm not going to get evicted for you.
You're not going to give me every dollar in your bank account.
Right. Like, you could have cancer right now.
You're not going to give it to me.
Right. I'm going to continue to pay rent. Sorry. Please don't die.
Please don't die. Like, best of luck to you. Right. Get well soon, but you're not getting every
I'll
get dollar.
I'll get some flowers for the hospital, but, like, I'm not going to be homeless
because of you.
Right.
Jesus. It's the delusion of some of the fans, I guess. I don't know.
Honestly, I don't think there's anyone I've been in a romantic relationship with.
No, I don't. I wouldn't even give anybody that much money. I wouldn't give anybody that much money. I wouldn't even give, like, I have a lot of friends I don't even give, like, $100 to. Because I'm like, right. I'm not going to get it back. Or, like, or you know, like, then they come back asking for more. And I'm like, no. You know, like, there's not a lot of people I would give money to.
Well, and that's the thing. If I give people money, I'm giving them money. Like, I don't expect it.
Yeah, you don't expect it back. Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, okay, I gave you a gift.
It's like, take it. But then they'll keep coming back for more usually. And I'm like, ah, that's where you have to draw the line. You're like, well, no, yeah. Dude, like, no.
Take some ownership for your own fucking life.
Yeah.
Why do you need me to keep bailing you out?
Yeah.
The idea of like a complete stranger, like fucking.
Like giving them 20 or like, you know, like you see those scams happen all the time. Like I follow the subreddit Scambait. Oh, man. The lengths, it's like these people, like they like bait the scammers because like, you know, it's a scam. Like it's like the ones that are like, they're like, oh, hey, should we get dinner tonight? And you're like, oh, who is this? And then they're like, oh, sorry. I thought you were so-and-so. My name is Anna and I'm from Hong Kong and I moved to LA and I own this fashion like thing. And it's like, because they're trying to scam you.
Yeah.
And so I look at that subreddit a lot because I'm trying to understand how people can actually fall for these scams for like a year or two. And then like they end up giving like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Because they're lonely.
I know. And I'm like, I just don't imagine myself ever being that lonely that I'm giving somebody all my money.
I agree.
That I've never even met.
And honestly, if you're that lonely, pay for a GFE and yeah, just go about your day.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Don't be giving somebody money in another country. It's so crazy to me.
Right. Like.
And the scam industry is actually huge, like in Cambodia and like Indonesia and like all that stuff, like Myanmar, like all those like weird countries over there and like the Southeast Asia. Yeah. That's like they have like big like headquarters for them.
Oh yeah, same with India.
Yeah, same thing, yeah.
Like I'll fall down YouTube rabbit holes of like them scam busting people.
When you think about it, you're like, man, like the amount of money these people are getting from people.
Well, and just how far the U.S. dollar goes in these countries.
Oh, yeah.
$5,000-$10,000 for us is not an insignificant amount of money.
But to them, that's like gold.
Right. And what's especially disgusting to me is like when they're scamming old people that...
Oh, that don't know any better. Yeah, yeah. And they can't realize it's a scam. And yeah. They're like, oh, like my nephew called me asking me for this money. He's in another country. And then like she'll like see like this old lady, like then she'll see her nephew. And then he's like, you didn't give me any money. And she's right. Like, what do you mean? And he's like, you didn't give me any fucking money. Who'd you give money to?
Those people I feel really bad
yeah,
for.
Yeah, those are the ones I think they target the most, you know?
Yes.
And I think that goes hand in hand also like with like the fake performer accounts. Like they're looking for those people that are like really gullible.
Well, yeah. You know, from what I've heard, like I'm not that up on scam culture, but from what I understand, like the obvious typos and shit like that.
The weird language too, like right. From the translation.
They do that intentionally because the people that will still engage after that are dumb enough to fall for the scam. Why waste your time on someone who's going to fucking see right through your shit?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you're dumb enough to take this with horrible grammar and...
Like, oh, you're definitely dumb enough to give me your money.
Right.
Like...
It's like... Where do these idiots get this money? Where?
I don't know. That's what I wonder too. I'm like, how are you just able to give these people like so much money? Like continuously over like a period of time. Like I do well for myself in the industry, but I could not give anybody like a large sum of money and be like comfortable with it.
Right.
Like I'd be like, what the fuck did I just do? I would be like, I'm gonna go broke now because I gave someone $20,000.
Right. Like honestly, that would be an interesting documentary for someone to do is like someone to do a dive on like the scam culture, like the people preying on the fans and all that and just dive into it.
Because it is big. I see it happen a lot.
Well, all the time. I could go through my like blocked DMs and like the amount of like, it's always Lexi Lord for some reason. It's always fucking Lexi. Like, I literally have had like at least 10 accounts that are claiming to be Lexi. And it's always the same, like, hi, babe. Thank you for being a number one fan. It's like, why is Lexi the person that they...
That's so funny.
It's just like, it's one of the few people like that I hang out with a fair amount in real life. It's like, of all the people to pick.
Yeah.
Go down my timeline a little.
Yeah, at least find somebody more believable. Jesus.
Right. Or, you know, I definitely had one for Rocky Emerson a couple of years back. And it's just like, she had just done the show. I'm like, you know, this is me and you in my apartment like a week ago.
Huh? What's up? You never mentioned this before.
Right. And it's unbelievable that they just commit to the bit. They just will not ever admit. They're like, all right, you caught me. Good game.
Yeah.
No matter what. They're just like, no. It's me. It's me, Rocky.
I had somebody in my Discord, I think like a few months ago, like come in there and be like, hey, Haley, is this really you? And I'm like, you're literally in my Discord. You think I'm messaging? Like, and he was like, okay, that's just really believable. Like, I'm like, no, it's not me. And he'd be like, well, can you do anything? No, I can't do anything about it. Like, I wish there was something I could do about it, but I'm not the internet police here, right? I can't, like, do anything about this except tell you it's not me.
And honestly, why didn't you make this check before you fucking handed over a cent, dog?
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Like, oh, hey, there's all these public forums where I could try to reach out to Haley. But after I've, you know, been scammed and I'm out of money.
And then I'm guessing if it's really her, then I should ask.
Yeah.
Couldn't be me.
It's mind-boggling. Like, dudes, just go rub one out. Get the post-nut clarity.
Yeah, literally.
Like, get the poison out before you send a dime.
Literally. But not all the time. Give me some of your money on OnlyFans.
Right. Give the real Haley all your money.
Yeah, not these random accounts on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Oh, man, the Facebook profiles on me. Ooh, man. I've had people, like, send them to me. Like, hey, this Facebook profile has, like, people have made Facebook pages for me, of me, and they have, like, 50, 60,000 people. And I'm like, that's not me. Kudos to them, but that's not me. I don't use Facebook. I'm not 70 years old using Facebook, guys. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like, and the fans, you know, they're so gullible. And sometimes I feel bad, but I'm like, sometimes, like, you can't really feel bad for them because it's like they keep doing it or they keep falling for it. And then there's, like, the fans that sometimes I'm like, well, you deserve it. Like,
you're an adult.
Yeah.
Take some ownership of your own fucking mistake here.
Yeah.
You didn't do your due diligence. Like, huh, why is this phone number in fucking Miramar? Why am I fucking Apple paying someone in Miramar
right now? Oh, my God.
Is Haley stuck in a Miramar jail or something?
Could you imagine? Yeah. Oh, my God. No, that happens, though, to, like, a lot of, like, people who, like, are promised, like, jobs. They're promised jobs in, like, Miramar, Cambodia, and then they're, like, kidnapped and taken, their passports taken, and then they have to work for these scammers. Could you imagine if that actually happened to me?
Oh, that'd be horrible.
That'd be horrible. Nobody would know either.
Well, and to circle back to Japan, like, shit like that happens in some of the maid clubs and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
You know, girls' passports are taken, to, you know, so they can't
leave. They can't do anything. Yeah. Like, oh, my God. Scary. I always, like, remind myself that, like, I never want to feel, like, invincible whenever I travel, especially because I do travel alone a lot. I always try to, like, either meet up with people that I know or have somebody with me. You know, like, I never want to be, like, completely alone. Like, I might go to a country by myself, but I'm going there to be with friends.
Yeah.
And I'm never, like, actually alone because I am terrified of something happening to me.
Yeah.
And I always, like, figure out where the, like, nearest embassy is. Like, I'm always, like, very, very on my game, like, trying to be aware.
You have to be.
Like, yeah.
And unfortunately, you're a tiny person. Like,
it's very easy for something bad to happen to me.
You could fit in a suitcase.
Literally.
Like, I don't have those fears when I travel abroad. And believe me, I still am on, like, my P's and Q's depending on some place I've gone. Like, when I was in Colombia, it was just like, me and my friends were on guard at all times.
Yeah.
This is like, oh, we're like the fucking few Americans down here.
Very big target. Yeah. It's scary.
But, like, Japan, I get ignorant.
No, in Japan, like, I was fine.
Japan, I'm just like, oh, no one's going to fuck with me. Like, they're used enough to Westerners. Violent crime's not really a thing here.
Yeah.
I definitely, like, slept in a planter at Shibuya Station drunk a couple years ago. Just, like, blackout drunk. Like, every little while, I'd try to regain consciousness and be like, my Airbnb is that way. Completely fine. Like, in America, I'd have no shoes, no wallet, no phone. And like,
you probably have a black eye too. Yeah.
Or at very least a fucking ticket or maybe get arrested. Japan, I was like, absolutely fine.
Nobody touches you. They just leave you alone. Just
left me be.
Yeah.
You're unfortunately in a different
situation. I can't do that. I can't just sleep at a train station. Jesus. Nope. I don't think I could even do that in Japan. Why would I do that? The police would probably like come up to me or like somebody, like a security guard would be like, are you alive? Like, do you need help? Like, what's wrong? Like, you got to go. You need hospital? Like,
yeah. None of that was administered.
No, that would probably be what would happen to me.
Yeah, I drank a lot in Shinjuku. A lot in Shinjuku. And, like, got a cab from Shinjuku back to Shibuya and couldn't communicate with my cab driver where my Airbnb was in Shibuya.
Oh, God.
So he just dropped me at Shibuya Station.
Oh, my God.
And then, as I said, in and out of consciousness for like 3 hours. And this was all pieced back together via the health app on my phone, text messages.
Jesus.
Oh, I was drunk.
Yeah.
Like, I legitimately thought, like, that I was drugged. Like, that's how drunk I got. The next morning, I was, like, checking my bank account. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm down $300.
Could have been worse. It could have been.
Oh, no. My drunk ass pulled it out. It was in my wallet.
Yeah. Okay. So you had all your money.
Yeah. Well, because when I got to the second cab, when I finally came to enough to communicate with the cab driver how to get to the Airbnb, I had to pay him in coins because I'm like, oh, fuck. I don't think I have enough cash to pay me. Like, especially in 2016, it was cash only.
Yeah.
And I'm texting my friends like, I may have to run on this cab. Like, I don't think I got enough money for me.
Oh, God.
Thank God. I had exactly enough in chain, like in coins.
Yeah, the coins.
And the next morning, like, was like, fuck, someone took $300 on my account. Yeah, my drunk ass did.
Yeah, it's my wallet.
I'm pretty sure that.
Then you probably didn't even realize you had the cash. You're just trying to give him all the coins you had.
I'm pretty sure that cab stopped for me at a 7-Eleven to get cash because he was looking at me like I was a moron.
He was like, oh, God.
He was looking at me like I was a goddamn moron when we got there. I'm like, I don't think I got enough to pay you. And he's
like, dare.
No, I think we had stopped on the way.
Yeah.
I had no more cash on me.
Yeah, so he was probably like, go take out money.
Yeah. Well, no, I think I asked him to stop.
Oh.
I think I asked him to stop on the way so I could pay him. And then when I got to the house, like.
You probably still didn't pay him.
Well, I paid him. I paid him in coins. But literally, I thought I only had coins on me. I'm like, I don't have enough cash to pay you. And he's just looking at me like I'm a fucking idiot because he watched me go into a 7-Eleven.
He's like, this is fucking idiot.
Yeah, this idiot's so drunk. I mean, I was so. I drank some bar. It was called Science next in Shinjuku out of whiskey. I drank them out of whiskey.
Oh, my God.
It was one of those things where, like, I overindulged. I thought I was going to get laid.
No, you just think of
said I got very drunk, very sick, and, like, just had ridiculous text messages with my friends and retraced my steps via, like, the health app.
Yeah.
Okay, I walked here, then stopped moving for a while. Then I walked here. Stop moving for a while.
Man.
Hit it a little hard.
Yeah. I haven't had any crazy drunk stories traveling. I've only had, like, when I went to, I was taking the train from Amsterdam to Berlin, and there was, like, a series of freak accidents, right? Like, so I booked the Dutch Bahn because I was like, oh, I'm in Europe. I want to, like, see Europe. I want to take the train. I don't want to fly with all this luggage. Well, I mean, I should have just flown. Because I was like, oh, like by the end of it, like I'm just like, it'll probably add up to like me just taking the train. And the train was so much cheaper. I booked first class. So I get to the train station, get on the train. I'm in first class. I get my luggage up there. And then all of a sudden, like the conductor comes over and starts talking like in Dutch and then in German and then goes to English. And he's like, there was an accident yesterday. Like a train like fell.
Like a derailment?
Yeah, like in Hanover, like which is a city in Germany. So they're like, oh, so we actually have to divert. Because it was supposed to be a straight, like direct train, no stops. Like, oh, so we're going to have to stop. Like, and you guys are going to have to change trains at this one station in a couple hours. Literally 10 minutes later, comes on the intercom again. And then he's like, hey, there was an accident. The next train station, everybody has to get off. And then the train's going back to Amsterdam. And I was like so confused. I was like, what's happening? I'm like, I don't speak Dutch or German. And it's like, I was out in the middle of nowhere, like Netherlands, like near the border of the Netherlands, out in the country. We all get off this train and everybody's like trying to figure out what to do. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I find this like American couple and like I stick with them for a while because they were actually from LA.
Oh, nice.
I got really lucky there. They're older. It was kind of like I was like mom, dad. Like they helped me so much. They bought me a coffee. They're like, just stick with us because they're going to Berlin too. We even talked about renting a car at one point, but none of us had our we couldn't drive because I don't think they even brought their American licenses. I don't think I did either. I only had my passport.
Oh no.
We were like, we can't even drive. We don't have our driver's license. But I ended up losing them at one of the train stations because there was so many train issues. Like there was one train that I was on broke down in the middle of like freezing rain. It was 3 p.m. The sun was setting. The sun sets very early in Germany in like the winter. And it was getting dark. It was very cold. I was alone at that point. I had lost this couple. And I was at this train station out in the middle of freaking nowhere in Germany. Didn't know where I was. I was trying to get the next train to the next biggest city, which was Hanover. And I'm like trying to figure it out. Like I'm just having so many issues. Like I'm using the app. I'm just not figuring out what train I'm supposed to be getting on, right? Because they're all delayed. That's the issue. Like I'll be waiting for a train and then it just never came. And I just start crying. Uh-huh. I start just sobbing. Like I was just like sitting at this train station just by myself sobbing. And this guy comes up to me and he's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I can't figure out how to get to Berlin. I was like, can you help me? He was like, are you lost? Like, do you miss your family or something? I was like, no, I'm lost, but like, I don't miss my family. I was like, I just don't know what to do because I was alone. A 6-hour train ride turned into like 14 hours of travel.
Jesus.
And I was by myself and just jumping from train to train. And I finally ended up getting to Berlin, but I did have like a moment where I was just crying and like somebody was trying to help me. And he was like, I'm sorry, good luck. And I was just like, I might just never gonna make it to Berlin.
I live in Hanover now.
Oh, no. Well, I wasn't even in Hanover. But then I finally, a train that was going to Hanover came. And then I sat at Hanover for about almost 2 hours until the next train to Berlin, which was at like 2 a.m. But I mean, it was like the first time being in like a big travel center, like restaurants open, shops, like people, like I wasn't out in the middle of the country by myself. Like I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I was like, please don't let anything happen. I was like, please, I just want to go to Berlin. I checked into my hotel. It was almost like 5 a.m.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. I had to tell them like when it was like midnight, like, hey, like, can somebody like leave my key like in a lockbox for my hotel? Like, because it was like I was showing up in the middle of the night. Nobody was there. I was like, am I going to be on the streets of Berlin too? Yeah, that's like probably like the craziest travel story I've had. It's not even like getting drunk. It's just sobbing mess. Like, I remember like in the middle of that mess, like after the train broke down and like the snowy, icy weather where I lost that couple, there was like this group of like people that were like speaking English and they were drinking gin out of like a water bottle. And they were like, well, I just like stood by them because I heard them speaking English and like making jokes. And I was like, hey, you guys going to Berlin? They're like, yeah, are you? I was like, yeah. And they're like, man, this is crazy. They're like, we've actually never had this kind of thing happen to us before. I was like, yeah, me either. And they're like, you want some? And I was like, what is it? And they're like, it's gin. And I was like, to me. They were just passing around a bottle of gin. And like, we were standing like almost like cattle, like in this outdoor train station, like in this cage. It was really weird. And it was just cold and rainy. There was just like a lot of us just waiting on the next train. Like, I didn't even care what train was coming. I was just like trying to get on the next train. And then we all like that. So us and all those people, like a train comes. So like once we get, because like, we were like in the back, once we get to the train, it's full. Oh. So then like, I think it was like 12 of us, like go back to like the little cage. And like, there was this girl who was speaking like German. And with a couple other people that were speaking German, like they pretty much all stopped speaking English at this point. So I was just like there, like listening, like sad. This girl just starts sobbing. And so I started sobbing with her. I was like, oh my God. It was like 2 hours. We were sitting in the cold. That's my worst travel story, probably. But it was actually, it's a great story to tell.
Right.
And I made it through on my own.
It's impressive.
I thought I wasn't going to be able to make it. I was like texting all my friends, like somebody feel bad for me. Somebody feel bad for me. Like it sucks. I was like, I don't speak German or Dutch. And like, I was out in the country in some areas. So like, I really couldn't communicate with people. Oh man.
Yeah. Rural Europe gets real rural.
Yeah. I was like, it's very rough.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you end up doing in Berlin?
Partying.
As one does.
That's what you do in Berlin.
I want to go.
I love Berlin.
I've not been.
I want to go back. I went in the winter. It was very cold, which is very like melancholy vibes, right? Like it's kind of like what Berlin is. It's kind of like that dreary, like depressed kind of vibe. Kind of fits it really well, but it was cold. Cold, 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 cold. And now that I've experienced it, I would like to experience it in a little bit warmer weather. Also, the sun set at like 3 p.m.
Fuck that.
Yeah. And like also like I think it was either Sundays or Mondays. Everything was closed.
I think that's Sundays.
Yeah. It was like there. Like everything was closed. Like a lot of restaurants, stores. Like it was like really weird. So it was like there was nothing to do like on a Sunday. Like you just like sat there.
Europe's still really religious.
I know. I was like, man, I was like, what am I supposed to do? But the clubs were open on Sundays. You could go party, but you really couldn't find anything to eat.
That's a problem.
Except for like doner or like, I don't know.
Kebab.
Yeah, like stuff like that, which was like, that was pretty good. Don't get me wrong.
I want to go. I've only been to Munich, so.
Yeah, you got to go to Berlin.
Oktoberfest was fun.
Yeah, so much history there. And this, just like the scene, like the party scene, like that's known for being one of like the most like liberating and like hedonistic places to visit and party.
I also like German girls, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could get in some trouble there.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun there.
Well, what did you do? Like,
I don't remember the name of this club I went to, but I tried to get into Berghain. Didn't happen. It doesn't happen to like most people.
Really?
You just have to keep trying because like they'll just turn you away because they're trying to curate like a vibe. And also Berghain is predominantly a gay club. So like there's gay activities happening, right? And so like they're trying to like make sure like nobody's going to freak out or whatever. But I party like in the gay community here. So it's like, but they don't know that there. Like, they don't know, like, oh, my God, like, you're going to freak out and start.
You're a little blonde American.
Yeah, like, yeah. And, like,
we're prudes in the rest of the world.
Yeah, yeah. So I tried to get into Berghain. It didn't happen. But I went to this other club, and I don't remember the freaking name of it. But it was really fun. It was a club that honestly stayed open, like, all weekend. So I queued up at, like, 2 in the morning to get in. And I stayed until 8 in the morning. Then I tried to get into Berghain, at like 10 in the morning, right? Because like the clubs stay open. Like they open Friday night, then they close Monday morning.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, so you can like get like your stamp, like you can go and then you can go back. So I like slept the first night I was in Berlin and then woke up at 2 a.m., got ready for the club, queued up. I don't remember the name of it. Oh my God. It was a really nice one. It's actually like my favorite club there. I did go to Kit Kat Club, which is one that everybody knows about, but I didn't have a good time there. But this club I went to. I went on like a Monday, so the crowd was like not really like Kit Kat Club crowd. It was like a bunch of like tourists, and like it's a sex club, and like there was no sex happening.
Okay, that's why I wanted you to tell the audience because I know what it is. But
yeah, there was no sex happening. No sex happening. It was very weird. I was like, well, this is awkward. I was like, there's nothing fun happening here. Everybody's like, just looking.
I came here to get laid. What
the
fuck?
Yeah, everybody's just looking at each other. It was very weird. But this other club I went to, though, so I left to go to Berghain, didn't get in. So then I went and got lunch. Then that afternoon, went back to the other club and stayed there until like 1 in the morning and then like left and like went to sleep, actually. But yeah, it was like really cool. So you could just like pop in and pop out at places.
That's sick.
And there's also like napping cubicles in a lot of clubs.
Not doing that.
People were doing it. People were napping. Like I would see like 3 people just like all leaning on each other, just sleeping.
I'm not.
Nobody fucks with you there. Nobody.
Especially, I just told a story about sleeping in a planter at a train station. I'm not normally about public sleeping.
Oh no, yeah, I don't know how they did it with the loud music and stuff. I was like, what are you?
Drugs.
I feel like even if I'm doing drugs, I'm not sleeping.
Depends on the drug.
true. But over there, like, it's like GHB and stuff like that is very like frowned upon. So like, and like benzos and stuff, like they, a lot of them are like, we don't care. Like, but if we find GHB on you, you're banned for life.
As it should be. Cause GHB is generally given to,
that will kill you. That can kill somebody.
Well, and generally given to other people.
Yeah.
Like, against their knowledge, without their knowledge and shit. Like,
yeah, they have a zero tolerance for stuff like that. Like,
good.
Like they, like, it's like everything else. Like they're pretty like whatever, but like that. And like, I know like benzos, like they're like, they don't like that shit in the clubs.
Well, yeah, mixing benzos and alcohol is bad news.
Yeah, yeah. They find out, they ban you for life.
Good.
Yeah.
Like, so, more places should.
So it's a crazy place, but it's like responsibly crazy. You know, they try to like be like on their shit. You know, like you can have fun, but you can't have that kind of fun. Fun.
I'm down. I want to go. I definitely want to fucking go.
Yeah.
It's on the list. Maybe I'll do that this year. Maybe I'll go to Berlin.
Yeah, you should.
I do. If I get a good group together, I definitely want to go back to Munich and go to Oktoberfest again.
Yeah.
But you only need like a day or two of Oktoberfest. Yeah. Like, I like drinking. And the food's rad as fuck.
Yeah.
But we were there. We were actually at Oktoberfest for a day. And it was like yeah, I couldn't imagine doing this for much longer.
No, yeah.
Just 11 hours of just drinking giant beers.
Oh, my God. Ew. I don't like beers. Like, that sounds like a nightmare to me.
The food is really what was rad. Like,
yeah.
Because I've told this story on air, unfortunately. Every tent, unless you have a reservation, you have to negotiate with the doorman to get in. And they're locked in on what they could charge for a beer. But food, they can charge whatever they want. So they're always concerned with, are you eating?
Yeah.
Because they want to sell food.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really a lot of popping around tent to tent and like just eating rad shit all day. And a lot of beer, but just so much rad food. It's like schnitzel, sausages, roast duck. Yeah. Like, oh, so good. So good. But yeah, by the end of it, it was like so drunk. And unfortunately,
so full.
So drunk. And unfortunately, as a dude, the fucking restroom lines are like what you would imagine like a women's restroom line looks like.
Oh my God, jeez.
And especially by the end of the night, like I was wearing lederhosen, like, and I'm drunk and trying to figure out how to unsnap my fucking lederhosen to fucking piss.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to piss myself in Germany.
Yeah. That's a great story, though, if you had to piss yourself in Germany.
I thankfully narrowly avoided that.
You didn't have to do it. When I was in the UK, my friend, I'm not going to mention her name because I don't think she'd want me telling this story, but she had an emergency. We were in like a little Camden Market shopping area, and all of a sudden she really had to go to the bathroom. Like, we were holding all these shopping bags. She's like, I have to go right now. And she was like, and then you had to like pay to go use those bathrooms, and there's like a line, and I've never seen somebody run so fast in her life. And I was like, girl, she made it. But she was like, I almost didn't make it.
Oh, that's the worst.
I know. I felt bad for her. Like, I was just holding all of our shopping bags. Like, cause like, I was like, I imagine she probably just like pushed her way through all of the line. And then like, you had to pay. And then like,
I gotta go.
Like, please.
It's just in the UK where like you can communicate, I gotta go.
No, yeah. She was fine. But I was just like, man. Scary. You never do. That's the worst. Having an emergency like that in another country.
Well, especially if they don't speak the language.
Yeah.
You're
gonna die. I will die.
Right, like, I'm going to, you know, piss or shit myself
right now.
Right now. Yeah, terrifying. And like, depending on where you are in the world, like, you don't want to use public toilets if.
Yeah, the bathrooms in the UK, the public bathrooms weren't really good. And, like, I've heard, like, in Budapest, it's kind of, like, the same thing. Like, you pay to use the public restrooms. So you usually want to go find, like, a Starbucks or something. If you're going to pay, like, go buy a coffee.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And go use a clean bathroom, not, like, some weird public one that's very gross. I haven't heard much about Prague, but I'm really excited to go to Prague. Like, the architecture there, you know, and, like, I hope it snows. I mean, I'm going to be there in February. It should snow.
It should definitely snow.
Yeah, I'm like, because it's, like, a very Christmassy vibe there, like, year-round. And I'm really excited to go. I'm really excited to go to Prague. Like, Budapest is going to be beautiful, but I am spending more of my time in Prague than Budapest. I try to split it up pretty evenly, but I'll be doing, like, I think, like, 12 days in Budapest and, like, 14 in Prague.
Nice.
Something like that. 14, 15 in Prague.
Nice. Do you know Anna Deville?
No.
Oh, she's...
There's a lot of performers out there that have been reaching out to me.
Yeah, because Anna's based out of these days. She's in L.A. right now.
Yeah.
She's in for the convention season. And she's an American, but she lives in Prague full time.
Yeah. I know Brad Knight. He lives in Budapest. He has stomach cancer right now.
I know.
Yeah. He was just here in L.A. We were supposed to shoot. But then I was like, hey, like, I'm going to be in Budapest because he lives in Budapest. And so we're going to shoot whenever I'm there. And then who else is in Budapest? My friend Catherine Knight. She's in Budapest. There's a few other performers. Dave Candle.
Okay, yeah.
He hit me up. He has a wife. I forget her name. She's something Candle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's been a few people who've hit me up. I think in Budapest, I'm going to be doing more collabs, whereas, like, in Prague, I'll be shooting.
You're going to be shooting for Legal? Or?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm about to get lots of messy scenes out on the internet.
Figure out the human puzzle of how.
Yeah, I'm excited, though. Like, I'm kind of going to kind of test, like, my... like boundaries. I'm trying to see how hard I can push myself. You know, like, I really want to, like, test myself here. Like it's kind of extreme scenes, but, like, I like that. Like, it's like a challenge. Like, I'm like, let's see if I can do it. Cause I know I can do it.
I love that you're like, I'm 3 years in. Let's do it hard.
Let's go do something crazy in Prague.
Right.
You know? And, like, yeah.
And that's awesome. Cause, like, Imagine what your life would be if you just stayed in New Orleans.
No, literally. I wouldn't be going to Prague and getting pissed on, probably. Could you imagine? Like,
you might just be pissed on bourbon, but...
Yeah, yeah. But that's not... See, that's not fun or consensual.
Right.
Like, I don't want that.
No.
But, like, on camera in a different country and a sexual environment... Fuck yeah. That's different.
Definitely.
So I'm excited. Yeah. And that's like, kind of, like, what I meant by earlier. Like, I was like, I have not done everything that I want to do. Like, I'm not ready to leave. Like, I'm just now getting my feet wet in the European world over there, and I'm really excited.
What else is on the bucket list?
Oh, man. I don't know, to be fair. For shooting, I mean, Taiwan would be fun to shoot in. They have companies out there.
Do they? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, Taiwan.
Yeah, Melody is shot for a couple of companies out there. They also have a big convention there.
Yeah, I totally forgot
that. Huge convention.
Better go quick before China decides that they're not...
I know they're not Taiwan anymore. Right. Yeah, I know. So I want to go back to Japan, and I want to go maybe to Taiwan and shoot more like with the Asian market. And then I already know like I'm barely going to scratch the surface in Europe. So like there's a company in Berlin, German Goo Girls, I think. It's like a big like bukkake, like gangbang kind of vibe thing. And Sophia Locke did it. And she told me about it, and I was like, I want to do that. I've reached out to them a couple times. They haven't emailed me back. I have been emailing them in English, but like I'm like, I guess I should put it in German. I don't know.
Do both.
Like, yeah, because they've been tweeting like, hey, looking for talent. And I'm like, I've literally emailed you.
It's the real Hazel Smith. This is not a scammer. This is not a scammer.
Like, I'm trying to shoot for you in Berlin. I mean, I'm not really planning on going to Berlin now, but I'm like, I could divert over there for a day.
Right. It's an hour, it's 2 hour flight.
Yeah. Like I could do that. So I might email them in German. I might translate it.
I just do it both. Like Google Translate, put, you know.
Copy paste. Like my old, like what I've sent them already. Like, hello.
Right.
Guten Tag. No, that's fucking Austrian.
No, that's German.
Is that? Yeah. Guten Tag?
Yeah. Guten Tag. Austrians speak German.
I thought that was Austrian.
Nope, they speak German.
Well, that's probably why I was like, oh, it's Austrian. Because I was like, I feel like they say that in Austria. Well.
They do. They do.
Yeah. I'm like, please. Help me out here.
I want to be covered in goo.
Yeah. Like, and it's in Berlin. I'm like, that's the best place to do it. So that's probably on my bucket list. What else would be on my bucket list? For in the industry, I mean, that's about it for now, I think. That for now. And like last year, I said the same thing. I was like, oh, Japan, that's it. Like, I'll figure out more.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And like, I want to travel more for shoots. And I really like that. And I think me being self-booking has allowed me that freedom to do it more.
Have you thought about doing some traveling to like destinations where there isn't necessarily industry, just to like do collabs in exotic places?
It depends because like there's a lot of talent, like mainly in Europe, but they live in like Budapest or Prague and they shoot out there a lot. Like they live there to shoot. But I know there's talent in Australia.
Apparently, there's only like two dudes in Australia.
There's also Canada. But like, I don't know.
Be careful, Canada.
I know they'll fucking ban you if they find out what you're doing there.
Yep.
Like. That's a scary country to get caught doing something that you shouldn't be doing.
I literally years ago, a performer friend of mine, like they downloaded her phone at the border and found text messages about like her working up there and refused her at the border.
Yeah.
Like she was driving over from Seattle.
Yeah, no, it could be scary. Like I've heard like, don't bring like your work phone, like bring like a different phone, like, or get rid of everything on your phone. Like I'm like, and that's scary. Then you're banned for life. Then you won't be allowed back in at all. Like,
yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah, no, Canada's very strict. They're super strict.
It's weird.
Yeah.
They just have weird laws. It's like
you guys are freezing up there. Come on.
Well, and like, prostitution's legal.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Well, it's weird laws like full service sex work is legal, but you can't solicit.
You have to be offered? Or wait, no. Solicit, you're selling or asking?
I don't think you can do either.
You just do it and then hand over money?
Well, it's like a lot of it happens in massage parlors.
Yeah.
So it's like if a client comes to the massage parlor.
It's like unspoken.
Yeah.
Like it's an unspoken agreement. Like
it's not illegal, but it's like actually, why am I just – I could just Google this. Like I could just Google this.
Yeah.
But it's really weird like laws.
I mean I think it's the same thing with the States. Like I know like if you – like my friend Catherine Knight, she lives in – Europe, and she's always scared coming to the States because she's like, I'm afraid that they're going to find out, like, I do porn. And she's like, I'm afraid I'm not going to be allowed in.
Yeah, no, you might not be.
Yeah, because like, you need a visa to work. Like, that's the thing. Like, you need a visa, and they're not going to give you a visa to do porn.
Oh, God. Apparently, they've criminalized prostitution.
Damn.
Purchasing sexual services and communicating in any place for the purpose is now a criminal offense for the first time in Canadian criminal law.
Wow.
A person convicted of this.
Is it like province, like, or is it nationwide? Crazy.
Okay. So you cannot purchase sexual services, but you can sell them.
Okay, yeah. It's like the Nordic model almost, yeah.
The new prostitution laws do not criminalize the sale of sexual services. They also protect those who sell on their own sexual services from criminal liability for any part they play in prostitution offenses that prohibit purchasing sexual services. So like
the Nordic, yeah. It's kind of like decriminalized for the sex worker, but like if you're caught purchasing, you're going to be arrested.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, that's
fine. It's not too bad. I mean, like, it's not ideal, but I mean, it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. It also puts the provider in control of, like, because it makes it a crime to be like, but Haley Spade, I want to fuck. Can I pay you to win? Like, that's a crime,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, it's like, you can't do that, but if I offered it.
Right, like, you know, $20,000, sir.
Yeah.
That's legal.
Yeah. I think it should be decriminalized, like, entirely. I don't think it should be regulated. I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with regulation, but I just know it would get out of hand. It would become too regulated.
Right. And the problem is it's one of those things where, like, if it wasn't, like, constitutionally enshrined or some shit, the laws could change again. And then, like, everyone's fucking registered. And then they're like, by the way, we have the list of all you whores now. And it's now illegal again.
Yeah. Like it could just get really, like, weird. So I'm a big fan of decriminalization, but not regulation.
Yeah.
And decriminalization for both parties. Honestly, like I don't think there's something so much wrong with the Johns asking for services, but neither like for like the provider. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't think it should be so one-sided. I think it should be equal, but there should also still be like protections for the provider.
100%. But it's one of those things where like, how do you get...
It's like, how do you do that? It's like, how can we do that? Exactly.
But also, how do you get people to be able to perform services safely if there's no regulation on testing? Because, like, we as the adult entertainment industry, we self-police specifically to avoid government oversight.
Yeah. I think I'm talking more about regulation, not so much, like, the testing, more so, like if you work in, like, a...
like, having
to... Like, an established... And giving them, like, a percentage or having to, like... Do like jump through a bunch of hoops to work, you know? Like, I think that
the brothels in Nevada,
yeah. I think like that can be it's almost like a barrier to entry, you know, for some people who need to do it.
Oh, and well, I mean, what's crazy about Nevada is like, have you danced there or anything?
I have, yeah. Right. I've had a sheriff's card, like, you have to have a sheriff's card to work in Vegas, period,
right? But imagine if you didn't have the money to pay for that sheriff's card,
exactly. And that's why I'm like, the regulations in that aspect are like more of what I'm leaning more towards of like being like an issue, not so much like the testing regulations. And no, like that should be regulated, like important, like how we get tested.
But as I said, we do this internally to stop government oversight,
yeah.
How do you do that for a loose confederation of sex
exactly.
workers? Exactly, like, and it's one of the things people complain about the OnlyFans only creators is. Well, there's no one giving them oversight.
Yeah.
And, like, there are plenty of OnlyFans creators that adhere to industry standards and are doing it right. But in the there's, like, 2.1 million creators on OF.
It's a lot.
I would put money that a lot of them aren't holding up the industry standards, especially if they're not working with any mainstream talent and they're in some remote place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why I have an issue, like, collabing with a lot of creators. Actually, like, I don't create content with somebody I actually haven't met on a professional set. The only exception to that rule was Johnny Sins, because it was Johnny Sins. You know, like, I knew who Johnny Sins was, and like, I reached out to him and like, we collabed, but like, he's been retired from studio work for so long now, and like, I wanted to work with him. But like, everybody else, like, if I have not met you in a professional setting, I do not want to work with you, especially like in a non-professional setting. And like, I have so many content creators, especially like ones that are like, they got like 200 followers. Okay. And like, first off, you're not a content creator, but like, then there are like some actual content creators, and like, I watch their work and it's just like not something that aligns with my brand. And then also like, I don't know you. Like, and then I know like they're not testing as much as we are, you know? So I have like my boundaries with that, because like, it's the Wild West. And I tell people that all the time, like, people will come up to, oh my God, at AVN. And Xbiz, it's gonna happen. They're like, hey, I'm this content creator. You should check out my site. No, don't try and sell yourself to me while I'm trying to meet my fans.
Right.
You got 1 minute to give me whatever weird ass sales pitch you have, because there are people that are paying to see me.
Right.
And you're trying to just pitch me this idea of working with you? No. And that happens a lot at the conventions because there's so many creators now.
Well, now I feel kind of gross about trying to solicit people to do the podcast while I'm at a convention.
No, but that's different. Like, you're established.
I know. But I'm not really feeling bad about it.
Yeah, no, it's way different than being like, hey, like, I just started out this new website. We should shoot. I don't even know your fucking name. I've never seen you before in my life.
I'm also not trying to be inside anyone who's sitting on that side of the table.
Yeah.
Like very much, you can keep your clothes on. You're not required to.
Not getting naked here.
Not required in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
The most you may get is a handshake or a hug.
Yes. Maybe a soft golf clap.
Oh, no. If you say something ridiculous, you'll definitely get one of those. But, no, it really is the Wild West. Like, it really fucking is, because it's like, anyone with a cell phone and a little bit of time.
And a light. Yeah. Maybe. They sometimes don't even have a light.
Oh, I know. Because I edit people's OF stuff. And
you're like, you should film in the dark?
Well, and with some of them, like, these are people that know better. And they're just like, it sells better when it looks like shit.
I have a few that are low light, but like, I don't think they sell better than my professional looking shit. I don't think so.
I mean, that could just be your fan base.
Yeah, like my fans love to see nice quality productions. I mean, they like to see like the more amateur look too, but most of the nice quality productions are like what they are there to see. Like, I just self-produced a scene that's I'm going to be releasing in February. It's called Slambulance. I'm going to be selling prints of like the poster that my assistant made me. I'm literally getting fucked in an ambulance. I rented an ambulance, and the ambulance owner knew exactly what I was doing because he was sitting right outside. He just wasn't going to let it out of his sight. So I filmed a scene for my OnlyFans in an ambulance. I did anal in an ambulance. And we put like a GoPro in one of the corners, so it's like a security camera. And then my videographer, he was like hand-holding like a camera. And it was just crazy. It's like so off the wall. And like, I love to do shit like that.
Is there any plot, or is it just gonzo?
No, there's plot. I mean, you gotta have plot with
No, you don't. You could just be like,
we're fucking in an ambulance. No, I wanted to give it like, I wanted to make it kind of camp, right? I wanted to make it like kind of funny. So the male talent that I did it with was Uncut James. Perfect for it. He was like the sleazy ambulance driver, right? So he was like, it was like film like cop style, like kind of like a documentary. So he's like talking to the camera. He's like, yeah. He's like, I don't even know if paramedics actually wear a badge like this. He's like, I just think it looks cool. He was like, you know, like, I just listen in on all the calls and I just try to beat them to the scene so I could get the money, and then they don't get, like, he's like a sleazy paramedic, right? He's like, I'm just trying to get a check. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I've just been doing this for a while. Like, it's super funny.
That's amazing.
And then like, so he gets a call and it's like, this young female, she choked on something in her living room, and it's me. I'm like on my couch, and there's a dildo lodged in my throat. And then he like picks me up, like ragdolls me, throws me over his shoulder, and puts me in the ambulance because he's like, oh, I didn't bring the stretcher. He's like, can you cut the camera? And then like, he doesn't cut the camera. He's like filming him pick me up. And then he's like, I told you to fucking cut, man. And then it cuts to me in the ambulance. And so he's like resuscitating me and trying to like, he's like, all right. So it's pretty much in her throat. But then, because of consent, I start waking up on my own. Like, I was like, huh? And he's like, oh, ma'am. He's like, staying still. He's like, I need to make sure you're okay. And I was like, wait. I was like, this happened again? And he was like, again? I was like, yeah. I was like, and the only way to like wake me up fully, put in my ass. I was like, it was just so camp, like so random. He was like, what? He's like, what'd you say? I was like, fuck me in the ass. It's because, you know, consent. Like, I had to be awake. I had to say, fuck me in the ass. Like, he couldn't just start fucking me in the ambulance. So, like, I was awake, and I was like, the only way to fully, like, get me out of this is you got to fuck me in the ass. So then he fucks me in the ass, like in all this equipment. Like, they got the straps. Like it's just great. It's so funny. Like, it's just so random. And it's
that
like,
is ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's what I've produced.
That's awesome.
That's the kind of stuff I like to produce. And, like, it's super fun. And, like, my fans, like, they like the high quality productions like that. And like, that's probably like my most off the wall thing. I think that's a lot more fun than just being like in a dark room with an iPhone.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And, like, the fact that you're like making art.
Yeah. I actually like self-produced that. Like, I came up with like the idea, and like, I had like my team, and then I picked the male talent, and It's really great. Like, I even have, like, a movie trailer version of it to put on, like, Instagram. Then I have, like, the Not Safe for Work version. And then, like, I had, like, a private showing of it for, like, my friends. We watched it. It was so funny.
Invite to that.
No, sorry.
It's okay.
I'll show you the preview.
No, it's too late now. Oh, okay. It's too late now.
Okay.
It's too late. Can't take that back.
It's so good, though.
I'm down to watch
it. Yeah, it's super great. I'm really excited to release that. I'm gonna start promoting that soon. So I'm gonna be selling. Yeah, it'll be like OnlyFans and like my sites. And I'm gonna be selling like the poster prints, like signed ones at the conventions before. So like this will be like the only place you can buy it. So it's kind of like promoting the scene before Hell it's yeah. even out. You know, they're like, oh, what's this? I'm like, that's my scene. I'm releasing.
Hell yeah!
It's called Slambulance.
So is the plan to do more stuff like this?
Yeah, I think so. This is probably, like, my most off-the-wall thing I've done. But I like the campy, like, kind of humorous stuff. And it's not, like, stepbrother things. Like, it's, it's just, like, weird shit. Like, in an ambulance. Like, you know, like, kind of, like, sleazy. But, like, fun. You know? I rented an actual ambulance.
No, that's fucking
and
awesome.
I told the guy. We told him, we're like, hey, this is the deal. And he's like, yep, that's fine. He's like, I'm just going to be sitting right outside making sure y'all don't steal my ambulance or driving around. Because they did drive it around for, like, the beginning, but, like, the guy was, like, in it, like it was, like, monitored, you know? Because, like, I don't think you can drive around, like, an ambulance like that. That's not, like, licensed.
As long as you don't hit the lights, I'm pretty sure you can.
Yeah, so it was just, like, it was just really cool, though, to do something like that.
So did you pay your male talent on this one?
No, I gave him the footage.
Okay.
Yeah, he has all of it. I do have an idea to pay some talent for some ideas, but it's mainly, like, people, like, where I'd want to have full control over, like, the production. Like some people are like, oh, like, I just like putting up iPhones. And I'm like, well, no, I want to hire somebody and I want it to look like this. Like, if somebody's, like, somebody has, like, their own vision versus mine, then I'm like, hey, well, I'll pay your rate so we do it my way.
Well, and that's what I thought was, like, something like this because this was definitely your vision.
Yeah, but, I mean, I pitched it to him and he was so about it, you know, and he actually, like, helped kind of piece it together. And, like, I wanted him to have the content.
Nice.
You know, like, he fit the sleazy ambulance driver perfectly.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm curious what else you're going to come up with.
I know. I don't know yet, okay? But something cool. I'm like, this is going to be kind of hard to top. But it's a challenge, you know, to do something really cool.
Well, it's away from the fucking norm.
Like, yeah. Oh, man. I already know it's going to be ripped off. But people aren't going to realize actually how much work went into that. I'm very glad I had my videographer, who's also like a friend of mine. He knew how to execute this. Like, we had so many wires going in and out of this ambulance. We had a fan cooling it down because it was like kind of hot whenever we filmed. We couldn't turn on the ambulance because then you're going to kill the battery. And then it's also loud. We're filming. And we had to put up like a tarp so like neighbors didn't see. We paid somebody to put their dog inside because he kept barking. And we paid somebody $20, like, hey, put your dog inside for 5 hours. And they did.
For only $20? That's a fucking
deal. She didn't even want the money. She barely spoke English. She was like, no, I'm like, no, take the money, put your dog inside. And she did. And then like we had to put like lights in random places. We had to hang up like a GoPro and move the GoPro because we only had one. And then like there was a lot of work that went into this, you know? And, like, even, like the cables to, like, try and, like, you know, get the lights working. Like, we actually had to be close to, like, where we could actually plug shit in. You know? It was actually pretty difficult, but I'm really glad, like, I had somebody that knew what they were doing. And I know somebody's going to try and replicate it, which that's, you know, thank you. You know, that's, you're infatuated with my work. You know, I'm very, you know, thank you for
imitation's the sincerest form of flattery.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. So I'm like, do it. But I'm like, it's not going to look as good as mine.
No.
I'm like, these companies are, or like, probably even people are going to try and do it. And I'm like, you're not going to realize actually how, it was an all day thing. Ended up being an all day thing.
There's a reason that like the industry's gone away from shooting features because they're cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
They're difficult to shoot. And because content's consumed a scene at a time right now, it doesn't financially make sense to shoot.
I'm like, mine wasn't really that expensive to shoot, but I'm like, there was still like a lot that had to go into it. And I'm like, it wasn't that easy.
Well, part of the reason it wasn't that expensive to shoot is you're calling in favors. Like, what would your videographer's rate been if it was
Well, I mean, I hire him regularly.
But if he wasn't like part of your crew,
I don't know.
Right.
I probably would have had to hire like an industry guy, and his rate probably would have been like double what my right. friend is.
And then
like paying the male talent, and then like I'm lucky I found the ambulance for a cheap price. Yeah, like there's just so many things that come into play. So I'm really lucky and like really grateful for like the experience I was able to have with this, because it could have been a lot worse.
Oh yeah, no, I have a friend who shot. He wanted to get back into the industry. He'd been out for a while, and he hired a crew. Like shot 4 scenes last year. Like they rented out a gym set and shot 4 scenes. And he definitely went into 5 figures. From my rough estimate,
I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah. And it's just like, there's a reason that people aren't doing fucking big fucking ideas anymore. And it sucks.
Yeah. It makes everything really stale and dumbed down. But I mean, that's just the way of the game. But it's really like, you know, refreshing to see like when creators are able to produce something really, really cool, like what I did, and, you know, actually be able to profit off of it and be like proud of it and not be like at the hands of a company all the time.
Right. And just doing a scene because it'll do well in the algorithm.
Yeah. Like this is going to be cool. Like,
yeah. That's fucking awesome. Yeah. Like that you're actually like doing the shit you want to do and it's fun. And
yeah. Like I've kind of like went on tangents on Twitter about like the Step family shit. And like, I think I'm really like, I think for me, like I'm really glad that I'm self-booking now because, you know, like no disrespect to my prior agency or any of that, but realizing how much work I'm able to book myself was so eye-opening. You know, like I was fed this idea that like, oh, I wasn't getting this much work, blah, 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 blah. Like, because like, oh, there's just like nothing out there for me. But when I started reaching out and booking my own work, it was just the floodgates, you know? And it's like, I feel like having an agent definitely tries to mold you to a certain image. And so like they will try and withhold work if they don't think it'll fit that image that they're trying to form you as, you know? And it's like, being able to say no to certain shoots, like if I want to shoot like the Step family things, I'm able to choose like, oh, like if it's Brazzers, like, yeah, I'll do that. But if it's like some low bottom barrel company, like, no, I'm not going to do this sleazy ass shit for a really bad company.
100%. And also the agents have the balancing act of, depending on how big their roster is, they can't farm all the work to Haley because other people on the fucking roster have to eat.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I've seen like a lot of my like prior agency like family go to other agents, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't need to. I have all the connects, and I'm able to get so much work for myself, and I'm really grateful for that. And 2024 is the year of Haley not being with an agent.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Well, and part of the problem is some people just don't want to put in the work that
it's work. Oh right. Man, I mean.
You're translating to German.
Yeah, and also, like, you're balancing, like, your own, like, scheduling while you're trying to do your own content. And then, like, you're trying to stay on top of your schedule. You're, like, you're the only one, like responsible for you at that point. Like, you don't have anybody reminding you, hey, you have a shoot.
Like, hey, you got to go get fucking tested today.
Yeah, no. Like, I mean, I'm very, like, on top of my testing, but, like.
Not everyone is.
No, not everybody is, you know. And it's kind of a handful to juggle.
Oh, yeah. But some of the very successful agents in this industry we used to make jokes like their pimp hand is strong.
Yeah.
It's only half a joke.
Yeah.
Being completely self-booking isn't for everyone.
No, it's not. I mean, when I first went self-booking, I doubted it. I was like, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I could even get work. And then like, it just happened. And I was like, okay. All right. I was able to increase my rates, you know? It was like, everything is just great. And I'm like...
And you don't have to pay agency fees?
No, also, like, the companies would have to pay the agency fee to them, and then, like, we would have to pay a percentage. And then also, like, my rate wasn't as high as what it is now. Like, I was just getting cheated out of so much money because I had an agent, you know? And it's like, yes, you owe them for, like, what they were doing for you, but seeing that I don't need somebody to do that for me anymore feels great.
Would you ever think about starting your own agency?
No. I don't know. There's something like about like the glorified pimps, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I understand like some talent need it. You do. Like there's like a need and a demand for it. There is. But I think after a certain point, it's good to like spread your wings and go do it on your own. If you're capable. But not everybody is.
Well, you know? It's fucked up in the industry because like by California law, the agents have to provide a lot more than they often do for the industry. I don't know if you're aware of this. If you're injured on an underinsured set, your agent has to provide workers' comp by California law.
Yeah.
So few people in the industry are aware of that. And that's why it's so important that, like, your agent is actually licensed and bonded, because they have to provide shit like that.
Yeah.
And that's a drawback, like, for you with self-booking. Yeah, you're making all this money up front, but if you got injured on a set.
My own issue.
Right. It's your fucking problem.
Exactly.
So, hell, it might be better to, down the road, just, you know, start the Haley Speed Agency and, like, you're the only client.
I'm the only client of my own agency. I'm my own agent.
Yep.
It's actually not a bad idea.
They happen around here. Well, because at that point, you can carry the workers' comp and shit like that.
Yeah.
Get an insurance payout if you get injured on set.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid that
ever happens.
Right. But shit does happen.
It does happen, yeah. I've heard stories.
People don't fucking sandbag a light properly or some shit.
Yeah. I had a cut on a set recently. It wasn't in California, and also I'm self-booking, so no workers' comp. But I was on a set in Arizona, and my male talent had on this weird belt, and I was climbing on top of him, and then part of my pussy got, like, cut, like, by his belt. And I was like, and, like, they had to, like, they were like, hey, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I was like, take that fucking belt off. Because, like, they didn't want me wearing panties. Like, they wanted me wearing, like, just a skirt, like, straddling him. And then it just ended up, like, I ended up cutting myself. But, like, I didn't realize, like, I was actually bleeding until he went to go down on me. And they were like, oh, he was like, you're bleeding. And then, like, then I was, like, worried about him because I was like, oh, no, he's going to lose his edge. Like, now he's, like, he was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, no. I was like, everybody just relax. I was like, you're fine. I was the one that was injured. And I was like, everything's fine. Like, I was like, I wasn't even in pain. Like, I just had to wait for the bleeding to stop, obviously.
What kind of man is turned off by a bleeding pussy? What the fuck?
No, but he had hurt me. So he
I'm fucking around.
And, like, the director, he was like, are you okay? Like, do you still want? I was like, yes, I still want to shoot. Like, everybody just calm down.
I came all the way the fuck to Arizona. No, yeah. I don't want to lose money.
Yeah, I was like, calm down. And then, like, he was like, I was like worried about him, like, being in his head after that. I was like, let's just shoot, please. I was like, I'm fine. Like, I was like, I'm an adult. Like, I'm telling you right now, I'm fine. I am solo. I'm independent. I'm telling you, I'm fine. Let's do this. And we were fine. But, you know, like, that's probably, like, the only accident I've actually had. And it's pretty minor from what I've heard to some people happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as for male talent, like, people have had their dicks broken.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's two that come to mind. And then, oh, I think Van Wilder, like, he had his urethra fucking split open.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm like it's, and it's all because of girls writing.
Yeah,
because they just go too crazy or something, and that's why, like, I'm very trying to be very gentle. I'm like, I've heard the stories.
Well, and thankfully, you're a small person.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. The stories I've heard have been like because they like these guys have had like bigger talent on them, you know, and they just go crazy and they don't think about like you can hurt somebody. Like I've hurt somebody. I feel like if I even put too much weight on like their chest, I'm like, I'm sorry if I'm crushing you. And they're like, no, you're fine. I'm like, somebody like as tall as like Rocky Emerson.
Yeah.
Fucking put all her weight on you. Like, it's a dangerous world out here. Even for me, like on being on like the smaller end, like when somebody's bigger coming onto me, it's scary.
Right. And like, because you got to do it like weird, uncomfortable angles too.
Yeah. I'm like, you can get hurt very, very easily.
Nobody in real life is doing like the arched back fucking cowgirl where it's just like, you know, my dick would be bent like this.
Oh, man, I hate that. When I feel their dicks, like, bending because, like, the angle that the camera, like, the company wants, I'm like, this man, this doesn't feel good. Because then you start feeling him lose his edge because he's like, ah, my dick's being bent.
Yeah.
I feel for these dudes.
Yeah, like, never in real life would it, like.
No, never in real life are you going to put your back and your hair and your dude's face while you ride him facing away. Like, in no world are you actually going to do that.
Right.
Like. Because then he can't see anything. Like, it's just so weird. So weird.
But it looks good on camera.
It does look good on camera. But that's not, like, something you do, like, in your personal life usually. And like some guys, like, dicks, like, they have a hard time bending like that. Like, or, like, bending, like, the opposite way. Like, if I'm, like, riding them, facing them, like, for VR, doing reverse but facing the camera. Like, their dick going the fucking opposite way, yeah. Like, to their legs. I'm like, oh, man. That hurts, I bet.
Why I've never wanted the job.
Yeah.
It's
not all sunshine and rainbows.
No, it's a performance. It's supposed to be aesthetically
pleasing. We're creating a product.
And I don't understand, as we were talking about earlier, why people can't get that through their fucking heads.
Some people really think it's real, and I'm like, oh, man.
Yes, it is real penetrative sex.
Yeah, like it's actual sex happening, but it's not actual sex. Like,
right.
Like it's not, like, real, like, raw, like, unfiltered sex.
100%.
Yeah. Like my sex life outside of the cameras, so different.
As it should
be. So different.
I've definitely called like some people I fucked up with over the years, be like, why are you opening up to a camera that's not here?
No, yeah, yeah. Like,
just the muscle memory of it. I'm like, what are you doing right
even
now?
Even me like moaning, like sometimes I'm like, well, I'm like, I don't want to like sound like I'm on camera, you know? So it's like, it's so weird. Just two different worlds. I like it though. I like it, but a lot of people don't realize it is a very distinct, like different world on camera and off camera.
Right. And I wish I knew a way that we could fucking hammer this into people's heads.
And like also like that like goes back to like people like, you know, like telling girls and I mean guys even like you gotta quit porn. Like what I do on camera, I mean like the sex is real and like I have fun on set, but like sometimes like you show up to set and like it is fully just work. And the sex doesn't translate to what it is off camera. Like it's just like that is work. And I try to tell people that a lot of the time. Like cause then they'll be like if I start talking to a new guy, he'll be like, oh, like, are you going to do, like, what you do in your scenes? No.
No.
No. I don't want to and I will not. I'm like, it's not the same thing. I'm like, that's kind of, like, weird because then they're looking at Haley Spade's performer and not me as a person.
Right. They're just like, oh, so you're going to be an object for my sexual gratification, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I get to experience what you do on camera. Like, no. It's like, I want to experience something real and raw and, like, you know.
I mean, that's 100% why, like, yeah. When I've, you know, performers I've dated, I'm like, I've literally, like, been inside them, like, what are you doing right now?
Stop it. It's like, you're not on set.
Right. What are you doing right now? Like, I'm here.
It's like, get out of their head. Get out of the set mind. Get present. Like, right. Yeah.
Be present. No need to open up to a camera. Like, if I can't imagine this wide saddle strands.
Also, it's like, it doesn't feel good. Like the angles that even, like, the women we have to do. Like, yeah. Sometimes, like, I'll start catching, like, a cramp in my hip or something. Because, like, of how I have to be angled. I'm like, I don't want to be catching a cramp in my hip and doggy
right.
When I'm getting fucked in my real life.
No.
Like, I shouldn't be catching a cramp.
No.
In my hip. Like, it's happened a few times. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, on camera, not my personal life. Like, on camera, yeah. Because I have to, like, turn to look.
Yeah, so you got to get the look back. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, as I'm, like, arched and bending my body. And then I'm like, ow, I have a cramp now.
Well, and that's the other thing.
As a pillow princess, I shouldn't have a cramp. I should be just there.
People should just be servicing Haley.
Yes.
Another thing that, like, we need to hammer home to people in the real world is, like, sex doesn't have to last 45 minutes.
Oh, no, no, you're right. I hate that. Oh, my God. I have one guy I hook up with on the reg, and he just lasts a while. And sometimes, honestly, I'm like, can we wrap this up? Because, like, it'll be fun for a while, and then it'll be, like, an hour. And he's like, still hasn't came yet. And I'm like, can we like go to sleep?
And it's just like, as someone who like, my whiskey dick is like, I can't pop. Like a lot of times if I
yeah, get it's like, it's like, if you can't pop, you can't pop. But like to keep trying to.
Oh no, I'll try. I'll give it a good college try. And like, I've been guilty of this. I've just been like, oh yeah, this is definitely going on too long. I'm sorry. Like. I'm like normal, like just, you know, hey, we're perfectly sober. We're doing this. Like,
it doesn't need to last that long.
It doesn't need to last
that long. And it's like you could take a break and come back to it too. Like, you don't have to continuously be fucking.
Oh, definitely. And the couple times where like I've popped early, like it's happened, you know, it happens to dudes. I've had, you know, partners be like, oh, they were kind of turned on about like, I made you pop that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so weird to be like, oh my God, I need to last so, so long. Like, no.
No, no. We're selling you a product, dog. And yeah. That wasn't all done in one take in most cases.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I said this to someone on social media, like, in one of the comments recently. It's like, would you watch a kung fu movie to learn how to do martial arts?
It's all theatrical, yeah.
Right.
No.
No. If you want to learn how to do it for real, you go down to where a fucking dojo or a gym and actually do it in the real world till you were good at it.
Yeah.
So don't watch fucking porn to try to learn how to fuck. Find someone who wants to fuck you and fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand why this is rocket science.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really grateful for, like, the experiences, like, I've learned on the sets and, like, the sex that I have been able to have. But, yeah, like, it's just two different worlds.
Yeah. You're lucky that you get to have a job that you mostly enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, there are days. Yeah, there are days when, you know, you don't really want to do it, but you do it. And it's not so much like, oh, like, I don't want to be doing porn. It's just like, if you wake up hungover, or if you're like, oh, like I've worked with this talent before, and like I'm just they're not my favorite, but like, I don't have an issue with them. Or like, you know, like you wake up and you're just tired or you didn't sleep, you know, like there's so many different things that could affect your workday. And it's not because, oh my God, I hate what I'm doing.
Right. Well,
it's like a job. It's a normal job. Like not like you could show up to your desk job and be like, oh, I don't want to be here.
Right. It's a normal job. And it's a job that you can't just phone in.
Because yeah.
I've had jobs in my life where it's just like, oh, I can come in hungover shit, tired of shit.
Oh man. Anytime I've had to cancel, I've felt so bad. Because they don't want you to cancel. The day of, especially.
Oh, no. You know, you just booked all this shit. Someone else paid for all that shit on a shoot. And like, now they're scrambling and calling people last minute to try to replace you. And it's like, if they had a very specific, like, your person, body,
yeah,
your body type, we want a Haley Spade type in this scene. Okay, how many other people have a similar look?
That are available right now. Yeah, like it's super difficult. And like anytime I've had to cancel, I've always felt so bad. And it's always been like a weird circumstance, like health, like sick, you know, that's usually the only time I've ever canceled. And I'm very thankful for that. I've never canceled for any other reason. And I feel bad even doing that. I feel bad making that call, being like, I'm sorry, I cannot work today because XYZ. And it's like, it's never because like, oh, I just don't feel like showing up. Oh, it's because I cannot show up.
Right. And that kind of shit is also a good way to weed out of companies you don't want to work with. Because if they start giving you shit about it, like you're fucking lying to them. It's like, oh, thank you for showing your true colors.
Yeah. It's like, and like, I never canceled because of like, oh, a hangover. I've showed up to work hangover. It's not fun, but you know what? You, that's the consequences of your actions, you know?
You're an adult.
Yeah. And it's like, the only time I ever canceled is like I had a scene like right before Christmas and I got sick like everybody else. Like, I think it was probably COVID, you know, everybody got sick around like Christmas time. And I was still very sick. Like, I thought I'd be better after a week, and I was still super sick, and I sounded like trash. Like, I was coughing. And I was like, it was like the night before, though. It was the night before I made that call. So I was trying to see, like, if I was going to feel better. But it had been like a week, and I was still not feeling better. Ugh. And I was like, hey, I was like, I've been sick. I thought I would feel better by now. I was like, I'm giving you a heads up tonight before tomorrow. I was like, I can't shoot tomorrow. I was like, I'm really sorry. And they ended up rescheduling me for 2 days ago, I worked. So like, if like a lot of them, like they will just reschedule you. But if a company won't reschedule you, or they think like, oh, like you're just trying to get out of work, like I, like especially the night before, like I'm giving you a proper heads up. And if I had to cancel the day of, like, oh my God, like I had pink eye. One morning I woke up with pink eye, and I was like, I'm literally not lying to you. I have pink eye. I cannot work like this. And I felt terrible doing that. It was for a big company, but they rescheduled me, you know? And it's like, those are like the cases when I will call in, because like I can't show up to set with a pink eye.
No.
If I did, they'd be like, why the fuck are you here?
Right.
Like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you tell us? What made you think you could actually work?
Well, and it's like the unfortunate reality of sometimes talent will show up with outbreaks.
And yeah.
And like, what are you doing here right now?
Yeah. And it's like, and some, there are some agents that will like be like, no, you gotta go work, you know? And it's like, there's some of them that will like try and push you even like when you shouldn't be working.
And that, because they just want their money.
Yeah. And then it makes you look bad because you're like, well, my agent was like, I have to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Dude, yeah. And that's why I'm like, I don't need an agent. I don't need somebody dictating me like that and making me potentially look bad, you know? And then like, I'm already professional enough on my own. Like, I don't call out of a shoot very often. I could count probably on one hand how many times I've had to in 3 years.
She was early for the recording tonight.
Yeah.
You know, I never count on. I never count on anyone
being well, early. Yeah. Also, I have a shoot tomorrow. So I was like, oh, if I'm a little bit early, it's not that big of a deal.
No. But actually, speaking of which, we're going to call last call. We've been doing this for over 2 hours, yeah. Believe it or not.
Awesome.
So Haley, before we get you out of here, where can they find you on the things?
OnlyFans is Haley Spades. Twitter is Haley Spades. My new Instagram, because I've been deleted so many times, is GamerGirlHaley. My Twitch is Haley Spades. Yeah, that's about it.
Anywhere else is a scam.
Yeah, anywhere else is a scam.
Give your money to the real Haley Spades.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Don't give it to, you know, Jose in India. Don't do that. Jose in India, that's different.
Hey, you never know.
You never know.
But on that note, drink up, motherfuckers.